Blog Talk Radio.
On deck, 5FC, Black Moon on deck, was good, chillin'.
Check this out, man, Richie Rich in the house, West Coast. Shout out to Dipo Radio.
My name is Fat Sean, for those who don't know, I want to shout out Dipo Radio.
I'm known as the legendary Cocaine.
This is Down by Law, X-Clan, get up with the mainstream outlaw. Brother J, big up to all the clan and the powers, and big up to Dipo Radio.
Shout out to Dipo Radio, the kid, Young Mouth, Dragon Gang, bang, bang.
Yeah. Big Hutch, a.k.a. Cool 187. Dipo Radio, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, yo, what's up, yo? This is Tyra Smith. I'm cool with my man Dyer. Holding it down, Dipo Radio.
Yo, what's rocking?
Dipo Radio.
To you adolescents, youngins, like when that real hip-hop shit had a presence. Well, this is it, with the raw uncut, bringing the ball back up, keeping you all starstruck, taking the hide and fuck. I got a beef with whack rappers, cause they tank the game. Shit is all convoluted, it just ain't the same. I got a beef with dope rappers, cause they just complain that they can't maintain, so they have to refrain. Mr. Long is unprecedented, the way I represent it. I call it like I see it, and I say it like I meant it.
You fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick. You fake niggas kick, you perpetrators kick, you imitators kick, and all you hate is kick rock, rock. You fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you perpetrators kick, you imitators kick, and all you hate is kick rock, rock.
Scram, beat it, kick rocks and chase them. See, I don't Captain Sabaho, I'll replace them. And I don't hang with no bitch niggas, I erase them. About face them, the transporter, Jason Statham. Snatch them off the stage like Juggalo shows. A group of Negroes becomes a murder of crows. Plus I murder the pros. Pink game is epic, gimmicky rappers, adios, see the exit. Cause you the type of weirdo buying hookers off of Craigslist. We be on a dynamic duo, the meth and red shit. Blackout, air whack out. That's why I'm hotter than a crack house. Hip-hop is my journey. Rap nowadays is corny. 99% of these famous niggas bore me. I hope major labels disappear, cause I don't like a lot of what I gotta hear.
You fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you perpetrators kick, you imitators kick, and all you hate is kick rock, rock. You fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you fake niggas kick, you fake bitches kick, you perpetrators kick, you imitators kick, and all you hate is kick rock.
Dipo Radio. This your host, Dyer Lansky. That was Kick Rocks, my man Mr. Long from Black Sheep and Braz Kaz, you know, the White Crows, they got the thing going. But we got a heck of a show for you tonight. And, you know, I'm just going to get actually right into it. We got our special guest, Mia X, in the house. How you doing tonight, Ma?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, man, just a beautiful thing here at Dipo Radio to have you on here. And, you know, it's going through the promotion aspects that we do, you know, on the social networking and whatever, and getting everybody going. What's interesting is I heard a lot today, yo, that's my favorite MC. That's my favorite MC. Oh, that's my girl right now. I mean, you know, the catalog obviously had, but everybody wanted me to ask you this question, obviously, was lyrically, where did you get your lyrical influence? Because I don't even want to say female MC. We did do a tribute to ladies. We're going to have another one again, you know, very soon. But you're an MC. Where did you get those skills to start off with?
You know, I fell in love with hip-hop in 79. And 1980 when I heard the Sequence. I have to shout out Angie Stone because she was Angie B, member of the Sequence. When I heard the Sequence, I knew that girls could rhyme. And so I started writing rhymes. And then a few years later in 84, myself, Manny Fresh, and DJ Wop hooked up with this guy that was from Queens named Benny D. He moved to New Orleans with some family, and we started a DJ crew. In 84, it was all about the battle rap. So that's what I did. And our group was really hot. We opened up for everybody. Run DMC, Jekyll and Hyde, Fat Boy, Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick, like everybody. And, you know, I just knew that this is what I wanted to do. You know, I'm the only person in my high school class when we had career day, I'm the only one who said I was going to be a rapper in 1987.
That's dope.
Everybody,
now, this is already...
Everybody laughed at me.
Yeah. Oh, especially back then. Are you kidding me? Like, I mean,
yes.
You ask somebody that now, these day and times, I bet you about 75% of the class says I'm going to be a rapper. But
right.
In 87.
Right. 87, you know, my friends, we were getting ready to go to college, and they wanted to be nurses, and they wanted to be teachers, and doctors, and lawyers. And I said, I'm going to be a rapper. Everybody busts out laughing.
That's great. And I love what's happening already because I think that's a lot of, you know, listeners that we have and the younger crowd and even the people that knew you, knew what you did with No Limit and everything, probably didn't know that you used to open up for people like that. So just already a beautiful thing as far as that going.
Yeah.
Now, you know, as far as that, going into, say, you know, the No Limit era, obviously every artist and, you know, when they have the crew and, you know, things are going really well, everyone thinks they're, you know, the best. That's part of being. Like you said, you grew up battle rapping. You're a battle rapper, you're the best, no matter who you're talking to. But did
right.
you guys ever really think that No Limit and everything you did was going to turn out what it ended up being? I mean, really a culture? No Limit was pretty much a culture at the time. Did you guys have any idea that something like that was going to happen out of it?
You know what? We are so thankful for everybody that supported us, but we really believed in this. You know, it was a team of people that worked real hard to help each other so we can make this thing happen. And I'm just so thankful that it did. You know, just to go different places and see people, and they rock into your music, and they got No Limit medallions and TRU tattoos and all kind of stuff. And that was crazy for us, you know. I mean, I'm just so thankful. But we worked hard. We really wanted people to just be introduced to this music that we was doing. You know, KLC, he had a sound of his own. And he worked with a group of brothers, and they all had a sound of their own. And we just wanted to get that out there, you know. And we just wanted to represent another side of New Orleans because, you know, once I started making records in New Orleans, I was a bounce artist because that's, like, our hip-hop. But when we got together with Percy and KL and I brought what we had to the table, I mean, it was another sound, and we wanted to introduce it to people. And like I say, I'm just glad, you know, that so many people supported it. You know, it makes me smile when I run into young people that's, like, on it.
Yeah, yeah. And what's interesting, too, and that's why I like having, you know, people like yourself on my show, because also, too, it's from an era where the Internet isn't, you know, like it is now. So, like you said, we worked hard. Oh, of course you did. You know, you can't there was no real digital sales back then. Everything was hard copy sales. You're touring,
yes.
You're doing this, you're really in the studio. It's a whole different
yes.
era. It's a whole different era of hustle back then. I mean,
let
you
me
still have
something.
To do it today. Don't get me wrong, and there's still people
no.
hustling. So,
right.
you know, that's not what I'm saying. But, you know, people weren't hopping on the computer. There weren't YouTube videos. When y'all was doing videos, you had to
right.
catch them on.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. I respect the grind of, you know, today's MC and how they using this technology to really work for them, because we didn't have it, and it was hard. It was literally go and hang up posters. If you saw your poster on a telephone post before a concert, you knew that people knew about it. It was like doing collaborations. You get the person on the phone. Like, I'm from New Orleans, and I had artists from the East Coast and the West Coast and the Midwest on my records. So we would get on the phone, and it was like, yeah, I want you to do this song. Okay, you either come down and vibe, and we do the song right then and there, which you had to get in your car, you had to get on a plane, or it was like, I'm going to mail you the beat. Then when you got the beat, you called me, you laid your verse, and you mailed me the beat back. I mean, it was literally like a UPS, FedEx, post office thing, all coming right to each other and doing it. Now, I've done so many songs with people, and they email me the beat I get from my phone. I run to the studio. I email it back to them. Everything happens, like, in minutes.
Yep.
But it wasn't like that, you know, because we was from the cassette tape era also. You know, it was a different time, but that's not to take away from how hard people work now, but the leg work was more intense.
Yeah, and I'm starting to see some of it. I'm here in Los Angeles, you know, born and raised out here, and, you know, growing up in that era where you used to see posters on the wall and people actually, you know, again, the tape era. You know, studio time was hard to get for independent artists, you know, because you actually had to go to a real studio. You had to know somebody that knew how to run equipment, unless you had a little four-track or anything like that. But, you know, I miss, honestly, buying tapes. I miss going to a store, and I still go buy my favorite music and try to collect, like, older CDs. But I don't get that feeling from iTunes, and I still, you know, I still do it, but I miss going on Tuesdays to see what come out, or reading in the Source magazine to see what's going to come out next week, and being like, "Oh my God, I can't wait to go get this." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you feel that feeling that I'm talking about right there is still in hip hop? You got to just kind of uncover it, I guess. But do you still feel it, or at least that it's coming back?
You know, I feel it's making a comeback, but to be honest, baby. No, that thrill is gone. And you know what? I see a lot of successful artists in hip-hop, but I see, like, this one might be hot, then that one is hot, then that one is hot, and it's like the fans fizzle and everything. I think that has a lot to do with how fast music can be put out and leaked. You know, the anticipation and the bond between the artist and the person that supported the music, I don't feel it's as strong. Now, they say they have fans. I read that on the internet, the word is fan. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about when your fans bought your CD and they read inside the CD cover and they read your thank yous, so they know certain things that happened in your life because you told them, and it didn't really come from, you know, like a gossip site. You know, it's like people read the credits and they come and they say, oh, I see somebody died in your family because I read it in your credits when you meet them at a show. You know, it's like they really get into why you made certain songs. And it was just a bond that lasted to the point where I do shows and they be packed. And I haven't dropped a record since 1998. You know, I'm talking about when I do shows home here in New Orleans, I got to do my first record, which is 21 years old. So I'm talking about them kind of fans. You know, I think with everything being so available so fast, it just takes a lot of the personal stuff out of it, the legwork.
Yeah.
And like you said, you went to the record store. I worked in the record store. So I know what it was like to watch people come in and, you know, say, when that pop coming out?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I can't wait. I'm going to be here Tuesday. And they're dancing around and, like, they just can't wait. And, you know, I've seen people come in and cash their check and buy a CD, you know. I mean, I think now everything is so fast, and you
and,
have
and you brought up a, good
a meet and greet, you know, or something to see you, to see the people. So, you know, but it's coming back.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's,
and
it's
you
coming
up
back because artists are making the effort, you know, to do things to kind of keep the people that support them in the loop. But I'm telling y'all, it ain't nothing like that whole legwork thing between, you know, the people who love your music and yourself. It's nothing like an in-store in the record shop.
Absolutely not. Waiting outside for the record store to open up. You know what
Man.
I mean? Like, open the gates already. Like, I remember
Man. It. Yeah. What people want to see these, you know, like they line up to get J's and stuff. People, like, waiting, camping, want the CD, hear the artist is going to do an in-store, want a signed poster, you know, like that kind of stuff. It was that was a good time, and I can't wait till that time come back because I want everybody in hip-hop to just experience all the elements.
Yep, I completely agree. I completely agree. And you kind of nailed it, too, when you said, you know, about kind of having the you know, relationship, almost emotional relationship with the artist, because we come from an era, I felt like I knew you guys because of the way you rapped. You talking, like you said, how you know, you read it in the CD or whatever, but even in raps, I felt like I knew the people I listened to. Now, I don't really have that connection because they could be a totally different person because they're not really talking about too much. You know, there's a lot of substance in music back then, and there's still music with substance out there. It's just harder to find. You know, there's not as much of a mix of it as there used to be.
Yeah, you know, I think for a lot of artists, you know, in my time, just running it on a record was a gift and a curse because, you know, a lot of times you're just spilling your heart out. And it was a time when we had, like, all types of rappers. I think a lot of times we get to listen to, like, the same type of rapper so much until we think that hip-hop is just blah. But that's because that hodgepodge is not being played on the radio and different things. You know, like my era, we was able to be hard, and Diddy and them was able to make your party.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It was so many different artists, even like with myself and Kim and Foxy and Eve and Ridge and Rod Digger, you know, it was so many of us, and we was all just doing our thing. Right now, I just feel like music is concentrated with this one kind of sound, and people really have to go out there and search, you know, for all the other types of hip-hop that make it that good gumbo, you know, because one ingredient is not good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? One ingredient is not good. You know, you got to have, it's got to be something for everybody because we all different. And I don't know, I just feel like right now it's a concentrated thing. And because it's concentrated, you know, you don't get that connection with the artists and fans, and a lot of artists that sell so many records are finding themselves with not one fan in 5 years. You know, that's the crazy part. You know, when the sound is concentrated, the people get bored.
Yeah, yep.
And they really don't give a damn about knowing you. Girls that listen to my records, you know, there's a lot of girls that was working two jobs, girls that was in the street, girls that had children, girls that was in school. I open up all my records and tell everything about me, the good girl and the bad girl, and different women could relate to that. If you just got a song now that's just about one particular thing, that's just only one facet of you. You don't connect as hard as you do when you find an artist that give you what you could feel.
That's
you
real
know,
talk.
Like, Pac gave me what I could feel because, you know, he was so diverse when the
yeah.
beat came on. You ain't know where he was going to come from, but you always knew it was from a real place. If you, like I say, if you're hearing a concentrated sound, then you know, it's not really fair because you're not letting the people hear all the beautiful stuff that's out there, because there's some talented artists out there, and they never get to be heard, and it's cold because you hear them one time and you know they're a superstar.
Like yourself, just like yourself. And you know what? I want to blow these people mind real quick with this music. I'm going to go into this to this Hush, because it's definitely banger. We're going to come back and take some callers. And just, you know, just blessed to have you on the airways, speaking real about real things, too. And this is why I love having guests like you, because, again, the realness you can never deny. So this is stuff that people need to hear, especially the newer generation, you know?
Well, I thank y'all for having me, and I'm glad people listening.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm going to go this Hush. We coming back with the legendary Mia X. Let's do this. Doc for Radio.
Rocking back and forth, screaming, Lord, why? He was 18 years old, why he had to die? Lord, they bit him like a dog, he was my baby, why? My heart went out to her, I got sons. I could imagine her wound went numb. Her tragedy was my compassion. Last time she seen him, she said he was laughing. And she ain't got a clue about what happened. Sad it's just the same story, different mama cutting up. Same vibe, different family nutting up. Different partners fucking up. Police on the scene, who? Everybody shutting up. Neighbors going inside, ain't nobody saying fuck. Yeah, he get a t-shirt and a DJ. And the second line band, handkerchiefs for your hands, bandanas and headbands. Damn, but he's dead, and he ain't coming back. You heard what I said.
Wrong time, girls be with dudes and they get shot too. Or they get in the mess that escalates and turns tragic for real. Parents wanna bring them back, wishing that magic was real. I got a daughter, I'd offer you my life for hers. The pain of losing a child, the description has no words. Debt goes back and forth, click gangs, turf wars, mama's back and forth. I love my child like you love yours. None of this can bring them back. Body counts rises, y'all. Kids grow up, y'all don't know they people at all. Remember how they look, holding on to grandma's picture. So young when they left their babies with a picture. Get the picture. Kids wish they had it like that. Wish they mama chose them. Wish she didn't choose crack. Wish they had a daddy that came home instead of one known hero, or one who didn't claim them as his own. They're the ones who make my heart bleed, make my eyes cry. Wish I could take them home with me. Dealt a bad hand, didn't choose their circumstance. But up from the jump, but a chance. Raising they self, no direction, no inspiration, no protection. Surviving in the devil's dungeon, breathing aggression. When all they ever wanted was affection, let this be a lesson.
Cold winter outside, even in July.
Doubtful Radio and the place to be. Definitely feeling that track right there. Again, Substance, though. You know what I'm saying? You know, real quick, what would be the advice that you would give independent artists? Because everybody was independent at one time or the other. What would be some words of advice to give to independent artists nowadays?
Stay independent and treat your company like a real business. Don't get a record company just to have a chain and hit the club and pop a bottle. You know, don't do it for the show of it, because it's real deal money in selling independent records, but you got to work hard. You got to believe in your brand, and you got to put your brand out there, and you got to really, like I said, put all of your effort into your company, because I always say record companies is like having little bitty babies. You have to always watch that baby. You have to feed that baby, nurture that baby, take care of that baby, pump information into that baby so that baby could grow up the way you want it to grow up, you know? You got to put your effort into it. You can't be half-assed and have a record company and expect to be successful. You know, we worked really, really hard day and night. We stayed on the road. We stayed promoting. We stayed keeping the label and the artist that was next to come on the public's mind. We made sure that the production was tight and it was unique, and, you know, that the people would feel like they was getting what they paid for when they bought the records and when they saw us live. You know, you can't just show up at the show high, rapping on over the words, messing up the words, and people pay to see you. You know, you got to make people really feel you, so 20 years later, they could say, oh, that's an old school show, a throwback show? I'm going to that, because this one or that one go hard.
Yep,
like,
I agree.
That's what I would say. Stay independent.
Yep, and talking to one of the best that has ever done it. So also too, what does the future hold for yourself in 2014, going into 15 for these people?
Well, I've been doing some collaborations with artists. I've been having fun doing that because I've been reconnecting with a lot of my old fans and making some new ones. But also, I just finished the cookbook.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yes, just finished the cookbook. I have a cooking squad on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. It's called Team Whip Them Pots. And we have people from all over the world. And we cook food, we post recipes, we play the team with some pots. And it's a movement, you know. A few thousand people, we kind of strong and deep, and I really like that because it's about inspiring people to cook, you know, at least twice a week. And it's been real successful. You know, a lot of ladies have shown great interest in learning how to cook. And a lot of guys, you know, they send me pictures. They on the grill or they whipping pots, you know. It's a real good thing. So I have a cookbook coming out. And, of course, I still do shows a lot. So 14 jumped off busy, and it seems like it's going to be busy all the way through 15. And I'm just blessed that people still consider to put me in their mix, you know, after all these years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we blessed to still have you, you know what I'm saying, doing music. I know you just did a track with Gangsta Boo, Bitchy, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, again,
yes,
we just blessed to just have you. tell us a little bit about that track.
Well, Bitchy is produced by DJ Paul. Gangsta Boo, we did a record before, Shi'ai and LaChat. We did a record called Your Hair like some years ago. You know, we tried to keep them little hood anthems going. And so she sent me Bitchy, and I was like, girl, that's my partner E-Song. He put that record out in 1990. I was like, I'm glad y'all using that hook. And I'm going to get under it and put some more bounce under it. And we really just talking extra stupid, extra reckless on the songs for the clubs, trying to give the clubs that 90s feel of, you know, we felt nostalgic. We wanted the young people that's in the club to hear the way it used to go when we was in the club, you know. So the club music is, like, totally different now. We're trying to make our fans feel that sense of nostalgia, and we're trying to make, you know, all the young people that's coming up doing their thing in the club and enjoying the nightlife, we want to give them a glimpse of, like, how crazy the club was when we was out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, best of luck to you with the cookbook. Obviously, I can't wait to see it. I'm definitely want to be involved in that. And we just really appreciate your time here on Dafo Radio. And everything you said is just so 100. So salute to you. And definitely give some last shout-outs to the people, and we let you enjoy your night.
Okay, well, I just want to shout all y'all out for taking the time to listen to me and vibe with me. And you can follow me on Twitter, The Real Mia X. Follow me on Instagram, The Mama Mia X. And I talk to people, I release music and everything, and like I say, I'm just happy that all y'all vibed with me tonight.
Absolutely, and we appreciate you. We're definitely going to hold you down and make sure everyone gets your information, your social networking, and the whole thing. And again, just privilege having you on here, and I just can't say, man, this is great, great night. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Legends in the house, Die For Radio. That's the way it goes down. And coincidentally, I got my next guest in the house. Die For Radio, what's happening, big homie?
Yo, what's good? Yo, it's Casting Over Rudd. You talking to me right now, right, famo?
Sanova, the legend himself. Welcome to Die For Radio. Just a privilege having you on the airways. What's good with you?
Yo, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, man. And, yo, I'm happy to be alive. I'm living and learning, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you know, doing some research, obviously a fan of everything you did, it's amazing that we can still listen to songs nowadays, and we have this conversation a lot, and even talking with Mia X earlier, we have this music that's so timeless that you listen to it in 2014, and it's 20-something years old, if not older. And that feeling's still there. Almost the smell of it, if you will, is still there. So I just got to say salute to you. But definitely, man, how did you guys get started when it all came together?
Well,
back in the day, where'd you get your influence and just to make it to the point where you guys were?
Well, you know, me and my partner, Super Lover C, you know, I'm Casanova. We both grew up in Astoria Projects in New York City, right? And like the influx and the introduction of hip hop was like about 3 to 4 years old around that time, and I was very, very, very much influenced by Kool Herc, Fearless Four, so many old school artists back in the days, and the thing that really caught my ear, my interest, were the jams in the park, and for a lot of people that don't know what that is. You know, that was a gathering place for urban city. When you go to your park and you have a DJ spinning records in the dark, you would see like the light illuminating off his face. I mean, it was hypnotizing to me. You know what I'm saying? And back in the days, it was just two turntables. It was a microphone. The MC wasn't really the main feature at a jam in the park. It was actually the DJ, and the MC would just keep the vibe going and, you know, keep everybody into it. And they would do, like, little skits and little small rhymes and stuff like that. And I've always been interested in that. And I think I was about around 12, 13 years old around that time when I first started really getting into it. And ever since those days back then, you know, I mean, I've always wanted to be part of hip-hop because it was like, I used to hear it like in the middle of the night. I used to sneak out my apartment and run downstairs and hear my mother screaming at me, where you going, you little better come back here, you know, all stressed out with me, you know what I'm saying? But it would, nothing was going to stop me from being involved with hip-hop. I used to hear it, you know, echoing in my room. You know, I could hear the echo, the reverberation of
yeah.
the jam in the park, you know. You don't hear it clearly, but you hear the delay of it, you know, like reflecting off the building. And it was incredible to me. I could never forget it. I could smell it. I could smell those times. It was like, it was nothing. It was nothing like that. And I could never get another experience. But that was the beginning for me. Was jams in the park. This little snotty old kid running around. I used to try to get down with the DJ. Say, yo, get out of here, little kid, man. We ain't got no time for little kids. And they always try to encourage me, but they never let me do anything with them. That was great. So I just decided to work in the studio with the legendary Paul C at 1212 Studios, Paul C McCaffrey. We work with various artists like Ultramagnetic, Rakim, Biz Markie. I remember being in the studio with a lot of these artists. And I remember Biz Markie, he was writing You Got What I Need or Just a Friend, whatever that song is called. And he asked me, yo, Rug, how you feel about this particular line? I said, Biz, man, just that, man. Just write that, man. You know what's good, man. Just spit that. And he got a kick out of that because he knew he was the man. And I was just talking to Biz like, you know, he was just a regular friend. But, you know, he's another legend. That's another story. But, yeah, but, you know, it started off in jams in the park and,
yeah.
you know, and me working in the studio 1212. And then I finally had an opportunity to come out with a record about 3-4 years later. And, I mean, the rest is history, you know what I'm saying?
And it is history. And I'm glad you brought up because I had said you could almost smell it, and you brought that up like you could smell. Because it was crazy. I actually, for a while, you know, and I talked about this with a previous guest, you know, every Tuesday growing up, I go get, you know, the new tapes, eventually CDs and stuff like that. And it was a feeling
right.
to be able to go buy new music that it really gave you.
Right.
But
right.
at this record shop where I lived out here in the West Coast, it was always the same person working, and she wore this perfume.
Right.
Oh, you know, always, for years. I mean, I can say for probably 10 years. And every time I would smell that perfume on somebody else, whether wherever it would be, it would remind
right.
me of buying music.
Right.
Because there was no feeling like it. You go see what's coming out, or you read about what's coming out. It's not like an iTunes thing or a YouTube thing or a download. You actually took the time to go out and look through the
right.
racks and see what
right.
you're going to get, you know. And even if there wasn't nothing out that came out that you really liked that was new, I still ended up buying something that was older or something. You know, it was just, I mean, I just love that feeling. And I, you know, I, hopefully there's a lot of music coming out that has substance. And I know we're going to get into this Orange Juice track, you know what I'm saying, with you and Vasco. But there's a lot of substance coming back out. So I think we're about to get some of this back, some of that little bit of that feeling.
Well, I mean, you know, everything I like, it's a 360 cycle. Everything returns back to its essence, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, you might forget, but the stuff is so real, it's so vivid, it's going to make you remember, it's going to come back, because once you
yeah.
lose the essence of it, you know what I'm saying? It's like you have to, it's like your body yearns for something, like, you know, like something's missing, and you will see, water seeks its own level, my dude. Water seeks its own level. It will find itself.
That's real shit. That's real shit. So tell us a little bit about this track with Vasco.
Well, Vasco's an artist that I'm working with out of New Jersey. He's Colombian. He looks like he's white, but he spit like he's black. This dude is incredible, you know what I'm saying, and I'm definitely got his back. So I'm featuring on the track. It's called Orange Juice, and it's kind of in the vein of the old school golden era a little bit, so it might take you back. It might lose a couple of people. It's definitely metaphoric, and it has its own style. So hopefully y'all enjoy it, and it's brand new. It came out, I think, the end of last year. And it's just one of many projects I'm working with. But this is called Orange Juice by my man Vasco, and it's featuring me, Casanova Ray.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about those other projects after this song. And I'm going to go to some callers, 919. I see you, 707s, 818s, 562s. I see everybody. But we're sitting there with legends right now. Casanova Rudd, this is Vasco featuring Casanova Rudd, Orange Juice, Die for Radio. Let's go.
Shed a tear on the inside, my heart bleeds. $2 beers and harsh weed, I'm partly cloudy. Raindrops on my window pane, doubt these brainstorms gon' turn calm. I feel haunted. Is it wrong to wanna be long and feel wanted? At the same time, exalted, I'm exhausted. Walk the fine line between nightmares and visions. I always come late like nocturnal emissions. Love tried to take my hand, I let it slip then. It was good riddance, monsoon for my penance. Sitting in this foggy box glued to the glass, reminded of my past as a raindrop splash. Haagen-Dazs and blunt ash, I'm gaining weight back. Cauterized the one gash that made its way back. Trying to fill a void like a child with some toys, whose mammy ain't home cause she party like the boys. And pappy ain't around cause he party with the boy. Nose full of girls, so many holes in my world. Torn like a thorn just ripped through my artery. Hard to be strong when my pain the best part of me. Eggs, pancakes, and bacon. Started my day right, but I feel my heart aching. It's raining. Orange juice in my cup. Feeling kinda blue, but who gives a fuck? Sitting inside, watching time slip away from me. Clocks on the current, perturbed and discouraged. Got bad posture and my brain malnourished. Looking for my purpose, like how can I flourish?
Misery loves company, I guess I'm incorporated. Down Jones, feeling down, syndrome related. Love for this lady, wild and out Madagascar. I watch a tear on her mascara, down a scar. She speed stripping, clock on the radar. Trapping men, chasing trap men in a fast car. Birdie played the game, gave her wood like Tiger. Down the stroke with the image. Make enough green to make par. End up triple bogey chain smoking. No words spoken from the heart. That's hollow, couldn't swallow, still choking. Off a phrase that was coined, represented by a token of a lack of appreciation. Left with words that's broken, like the orange juice glass that I dropped on the floor. I couldn't grasp reality. It's time to pour me some more, cause eggs, pancakes, and bacon. Started my day right, but I feel my heart aching. It's raining. Orange juice in my cup. Feeling kinda blue, but who gives a fuck?
Eggs, pancakes, and bacon. Started my day right, but I feel my heart aching. It's raining. Orange juice in my cup. Feeling kinda blue, but who gives a fuck?
God for radio and a place to be. I got the OG homie in the house, Casanova Rudd. Now, I'll tell you, that track does take you back. You know,
yeah.
But that's what I want music to do. You know what I'm saying? I want it to take me back. And I, you know, I'm from that, you know, golden era sound and everything like that. So I do have a little bit, I don't know, I don't want to say biased, but you know, I look for that sound. So that's a beautiful thing right there.
I appreciate that, man.
Absolutely. I'm actually hit this 919 caller. You know what I'm saying? 919. You live with Legends, Die 4 Radio. What's happening?
You already know what's going on, Legend.
Yo, peace. Who this, famo?
This is the unsung legend from Southside Jamaica, Queen, Mr. Roy in the building for the same era. I don't call it golden era. I don't call it old school, new school. I call it true school. And all you're doing is staying in your lane. In this musical highway, there's a number of lanes out there. So you can maintain your lane and don't exceed your speed. There's a place for everybody. So when people are just looking for that new ratchet sound with the same sound drums all the time, that's what they prefer. When it looks for substance, and you said a wonderful word. I just started writing a verse the other day, yesterday, and I said, I kick old metaphors that y'all consider punchlines that takes you back in your mind when you used to rhyme at lunchtime. That's what I do. That's what I've been doing. I'm from the same era. I'm from the same. We might even know the same people. And what it is that, you know, none of us lost anything. We just did it, and we kept it to a mild, substantial place. But people didn't know that we kept doing it. We just went on being fathers, being husbands, being brothers, being mothers, you know. But the music, the essence of music that we deal with now, and the fact that now there's so many more platforms like Die 4, which is my white boy rapper that sounds black, and that boy's nice. You know what I'm saying? He's one of them. And this is the reason why I come to his show all the time, because he pays homage, he shows respect, and he shows that he has done his homework in his lifetime and appreciate what good music. I call it real good feel-good music. And that's what you just – that song right there, that was a real good feel-good song, my dude, because I'm listening to that, and it's just – when you can make me feel like I want to throw a verse on your song – That means your song made me feel like something. If I just listen to it and it goes, yeah, that's all right. But the minute I'm still in my head hearing it, and I'm thinking, hearing your subject matter, and I'm spitting something in my brain, that's what I want. I think that my music does that. His music does that. Your music did that. And I just want to salute you for always just being you, so that you didn't want to come in the game and say, yo, I got to run with these young dudes, so let me make a couple of these ratchet songs so they can say, oh, that's Casanova Rudd. Nah, you ain't got to do that, my G. Stay in your lane. Don't exceed your speed, man. Guess what? I'm in the same lane with you, man. Whenever you want me to merge or go to the soft shoulder, you talk to me, man. It's good.
Yo, pick your fam. That, yo, I couldn't have put any of that information that you said any better than what you said, man. And I appreciate the acknowledgement and the respect, and it's mutual, and I reciprocate, my dude. I appreciate that. What's your name again?
Mr. Raw.
Mr. Raw.
R-A-A-W. I'm going to hit you up on Twitter. I know a lot of the pioneers. I was chopping it up with Mike Geronimo last week. He knows some of my people in Southside, Jamaica, Queens. I know you know people over there too. You know what I'm saying?
I'm in Cambria Heights right now, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
I used to live in Cambria Heights, and then I used to live in Springfield Gardens. That's my whole hood, man. We might even know each other.
Yo, be on point. Listen out for me and Super Lover C's new album. Woo, working on the
Super Lover C.
Joint called the Retro.
That's dope.
So it's all the vein of the old school. And what you said, the true school golden era sound. So be on the lookout for that. It's been in the makings for the past 2 years, and we don't want to rush something. We want to make sure it's a feel good project. So stay tuned, and we definitely current. And like you said, follow me on Twitter. You can follow me at Casanova Rudd, CASANOVARUD. I mean, I work with people all the time. I showcase new producers. I network with people. I connect people. So just hit me up anytime, family.
I'm going to do that right now, my G. I do all of that same thing just like that. I mean, the Die For can tell you, man, we good peoples over here, and we appreciate you definitely coming over to the station, man. You know, it's been a pleasure, my G, and I appreciate it. I just want to say that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. I appreciate that as well.
Mr. Raw, Greenleaf all day. You already know, homie. I'm all down.
Good looking,
so I gotta say, so something like Do the James and hits like that, and you actually took a question right out of my book, because I was gonna ask if there was gonna be some Super Lover C, you know, the duo coming back. But did you guys have any idea that it was gonna, you know, go to that level? And I ask that question a lot, but it's a kind of a good question, because we have so much confidence when we do our music. Obviously, we believe in ourselves, and we're trying to get it to the point where we're the most successful with it. But at the time, the way it caught, did you guys know it was going to go down like that? Did you have a feeling, or was it just like, wow, we're here now?
Well, you know, after, you know, it's like we were groomed for it, like, for a while. It's not like we just jumped into it and, like, it was a success overnight. You know, we did hard work, you know, we invested in equipment, you know what I'm saying? We were in various rap contest in New York City, you know what I'm saying? Even, like, communities used to battle other communities, you know what I'm saying? I used to battle dudes in the Bronx. And stuff like, and what's ironic is me and my partner, Super Lover C, we weren't always down as a team. At one point, we were actually against each other. You know, he was working with an artist named Larry Ladd from Queensbridge. You might heard him on his name on the famous MC Shan song. Larry Ladd, third least, not last. You know, he was talking about Larry Ladd. And I used to battle against them. We used to be in these contests at USA Roller Skating Rink out there in Roosevelt and Flushing, Queens. And ever since then, I knew I had something. My partner knew we had something. I mean, he knew we had something. But we had to come together for us to be stronger, because, you know, his strengths were Lee and him and spitting. My strengths were more towards the production side. But I always used to write. He used to do beats too. But we said, let's come together. Let's do this stuff, because we've always been friends, you know what I'm saying? And we felt that we could make something together. And when we presented the project to DNA, because he saw us, DNA was the guy that signed us to DNA Records, which eventually was picked up by Elektra. And he noticed us at the rap contest. We had lost to Master Ace and another dude, I forgot, he came, I think he was second. And we had lost to these dudes, but DNA noticed us, and he put us on his label, and then we were fortunate to be affiliated with his radio station, which helped break the record. The first time we ever heard it was on Mr. Magic's Rap Attack, and I remember my partner calling me, yo, Russ, come downstairs, yo, they're playing our joint right now on the radio. I said, where, man, stop playing. I went downstairs. I only lived like two floors from where he was at, and he was in the same building. Went downstairs. I heard it playing in the living room when I opened the door. the raggedy ass project door. I opened the door, I hear that shit bumping in there, and I was in awe. I mean, my mouth was open for like about 20 minutes. I couldn't shut my mouth because I couldn't believe I heard my record on the radio. It wasn't like we were trying to get it on the radio, because
yeah,
a lot of people just do stuff to try to get paid, just to be heard or whatever, try to front. We did it because it felt good. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had to do it. Like, you know, like an addict, like, shit, I need heroin, I'm going to get heroin, you know what I mean? But I needed hip-hop in my life, you know what I'm saying? And it was always there. But when we heard the acknowledgement by our peers and by radio stations, famous DJs, you know, that we knew were famous then, and to this day that we're still acknowledged by them, it's something you can never, ever, I mean, that feeling, there's nothing to replace that, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm kind of caught up right now even explaining it, you know what I'm saying? It's not like I get to talk about it all the time, you know what I'm saying?
And that's why I kind of prefaced it before I said it, because I don't mean it to be like a generic question. There's so much feelings that go into music. It's so personal. And it's exactly like you said, like, you know, I feel I was bred for it. You know, we knew, you know, we were destined to do something. But once again, you're humbled by hearing it, by the reception from the fans, even people around you, and then hearing it on the radio. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. And honestly, I get that feeling with my platform on Die4 Radio, talking to people like you, because I'm still a fan. You know, I can be in interview mode. I can be, you know, businessman, whatever I need to do, but when it comes down to it, I'm a hip-hop fan. That's why I have this fucking show, you know. I mean, honestly, like, and that's why I have people like you, because not only that, I do have a younger crowd that follows Die4. So now they're Googling, and they're YouTubing, and they're doing this, like, yo, man, he was on Die4, and like, da-da-da, and maybe never heard of you, you know, before tonight. And that's why we say do the knowledge, because you're talking... I don't even like saying pioneer, because there's so much more to it, what you guys did to the hip-hop game, that it's unbelievable. And here we are in 2014 still talking about it, and it's still relevant. And listen to that last track. We still in this, you know?
Right.
That's
until,
what I'm definitely...
until I have dentures, you know, I'm going to be able to spit. It sounds correct, but I appreciate you. Thank you very much, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm never going to stop doing it. You know, I appreciate having fans and people that listen and check for me, but I'm really doing it for me first. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
whatever reception I get from my peers and any fan, I don't even like to label it as fans. I feel people are all my peers. You know what I'm saying? If we in the same movement, if we moving together, if we like the same thing, if you like, I mean, we're all together, so I'm not any bigger than anyone else, you know what I'm saying? We all have the capability to do the same thing, so, but I do appreciate the acknowledgement.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to go to another track of yours. Now, this is the way it was written to me. Is it called Unrest?
Unrest, yes, sir.
Okay, definitely, definitely. There was something attached to the end of it, so I didn't want to, you know what I'm saying, mess that up. But tell me a little bit about this track, because it's definitely hot right here.
Well, it's definitely a new wave type of kind of trance sound beat. I had got it from some kid from Russia somewhere. I forgot his name is Kenny Nails, and I got the track like 2 weeks ago, but it caught my ear because it sounds very powerful and moving to me. You know what I'm saying? A lot of hip hop these days don't do that to me. You know what I'm saying? And and the state of the world, you know, the condition of the world. A lot of times, you know, we get caught up with the day-to-day rigmarole and the daily motions that we don't really realize what's going on outside of America and in other countries. Like, you know, we might complain about everyday stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I ain't got no money for no trees, or, you know, my car broke down. There's people out here that are in other countries dodging bullets every 5 seconds. They got to run their kids across the street and dodge a mortar, you know what I'm saying? And they're going to lose small classrooms to even get knowledge that even isn't available legally in certain countries, you know what I'm saying? So people are fighting for causes and for real reasons. And we fighting for colors sometimes, or fighting over some broad, or fighting over some petty money. It's much larger scale of things in life going on, and it gets lost in music, the models and all that. I'm very conscious. I'm not always conscious. I'm not like a conscious rapper type of person, but I am conscious. I have thoughts, you know, and I have evolved and grown as a man, and I have things that I want to get off my chest, and this is the type of song that helps me do that, and it's called Unrest.
Absolutely, Die For Radio, you know how we do, Unrest, Casanova Rudd, let's go.
Yeah, Casanova Rudd. Yeah.
Don't sleep while there's unrest. Don't turn your back while they protest. Charge, protect bodies, put in close caskets while infidels are steady on their conquest. Explosive plastic strapped to a bomb vest. Aftermath of the blast, leave you unconscious. Temptation just turns to tempest. Across party lines, crucified, cross off the list. Third eye, blind, and listless. Motionless bodies, ending up lifeless. Ignore the ignorance, end up ignoramus. Scantily clad, and never addressed. Time to silence the pestilence. Too scared, you watch and turn away from where it went. Stressed out, presently really past tense. Heed the words that a God sent. Nah, I can't sleep while there's unrest. I can't eat, they starving to death. Can't turn my back while they protest. I'm standing there with a raised fist. I can't sleep while there's unrest. I can't eat, they starving to death. Can't turn my back while they protest. And at the end of the day, what will be the outcome? Yeah. I wonder what country will be taking over next, or subjected to experimental projects, as the noose tightens around all our necks. Cries in the distance, echoes as we reflect. Holding countries hostage with economics. Cons in Congress convene but never confess. Misguided issues end up ballistic. Misuse of missiles will hit you the day atomic. Can't hear the screams because they too loud, as particles rain down from a mushroom cloud. Incinerated ashes just swept and put in a pile, as your life flashes before you and you're still in denial. Family in the morgue mortified by a mortar. They try to blame it on jihad martyrs, playing a game that is out of order. But I ain't blind, shit is duly noted. Nah, I can't sleep while there's unrest. I can't eat, they starving to death. Can't turn my back while they protest. I'm standing there where the rage sits. I can't sleep while there's unrest. I can't eat, they starving to death. Can't turn my back while they protest.
Die For Radio, Casanova Rudd, definitely a banger right there. I'm feeling it, man. Like you said, you know, not you're not a conscious rapper, but you're conscious of what's going on and definitely portrayed it on that track.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Well, man, we just blessed to have you. Like I said, I appreciate you taking the time to, you know, to rock with Die For Radio. Obviously, we're going to be looking for the Super Lover C and Casanova Rudd project, so definitely keep us informed in that. But go ahead and give you last shout-outs, man. And again, you know, appreciate we all appreciate the information and just everything that you still do for hip-hop.
Yeah, man, thank you so much again for having me, Die For. And just to let you know, if you want to hear some, any, you know, up-to-date current stuff I'm doing, I'm on SoundCloud. Just search me, Casanova Rudd, C-A-S-A-N-O-V-A-R-U-D. It's the same for everything with my email is CasanovaRudd at Gmail. I'm also on Twitter, CasanovaRudd, CasanovaRudd. You can correspond with me there. I would definitely holler back at you. And I'm on Twit Music as well, TWIT. You can search me on there as well. I got up-to-date stuff. Me and my partner, Super Lover C, we have two tracks that you can hear currently. One's called Spanish Bars, and the other one's called Legend Twice, so you can check that on our SoundCloud as well. So
absolutely.
Just be on the
absolutely.
Lookout for
and
us.
Before you
yeah,
go
so
real quick, too, if I could get a Die For Radio drop from you, that'd be great, homie, because I definitely chop those up and rebroadcast them in the whole 9 yards.
No doubt. I could definitely get that to you. No problem.
Absolutely. So, yeah, go ahead, give your last shout-outs. We'll get the drop, and we'll let you enjoy your night, man. We appreciate you calling in all the way from the East Coast, my dude.
All right, well, my team, Success Club, you know, we going to be doing it. My man, Joe Minotti. I got my dude, DJ J.U. Ice from back in the days, old school mixtape dude. My partner, Super Lover C, Bosco. And, I mean, everybody that's been influential to me and everybody that's been supportive of me over the years, I mean, it's too many people to name. You know who you are. Thank you so much. And to everybody that keeps real hip-hop alive, please continue to do that and educate the youngins on the essence of where it all came from. It's very important to know where you go, I mean, where you come from before you go anywhere else. It's very important.
Absolutely. That's 100 right there. Man, what a beautiful night here on Dafo Radio. Let me go ahead and get that drop, man, and we'll let you enjoy your night.
Yes, sir. I ain't hanging up. I'm still on the line.
Go ahead and do it right now. I can get it from you right now.
What's up? This is Casanova Rudd. You are now tuned in to Dafo Radio. Stay true to the real game of the hip-hop. Don't sleep, baby. It's our year. Let's go.
That's what's up. Salute to you, my G. We're going to definitely be in contact. I'm going to make sure that my fans get your SoundCloud leak and all your links and everything that you're doing. And I'm going to definitely – we're going to be talking behind the scenes, man, for sure.
And next time, hopefully, I have my partner with me. I have him call in, too. You know what
I mean? And we'll do a whole other show with y'all, man, for real.
No doubt, y'all. I appreciate you having me again, fam. You stay up and keep it alive.
You too, homie. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out. Have a blessed night.
Peace.
Legends in the house. You know what I'm saying? Beautiful, beautiful night here on Dafo Radio and going right to another one. My big OG, triple OG homie, Mopreme. What's up with you tonight, my G?
What it do? What's happening, y'all?
Man, you know, it's a beautiful thing here being able to talk, you know, about music, about the past, about the future, but all in just such a positive way and then having people like, you know, we had Mia X earlier and then Casanova Rudd and then someone as yourself that's been through it all, but be able to spread the knowledge. And I think that's key on a platform like this. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, positively. I mean, it ain't easy. You know what I mean? For, you know, artists like us coming from K-Man at, you know, it's like 20 years later. We got a dub on that. You know what I mean? So it's got to be passion involved. And, you know, thank God there's a lot of passionate artists still out there. So, you know, we're going to contribute, help out, do what we can, each one teach one.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Now, you know, saying that, like, through the Thug Life era, you know, meaning the project and the whole thing, with everything going on, I mean, how did y'all keep focused? I mean, obviously you guys have a passion for music, and obviously I got some new cuts we're going to play for the people and everything, but, you know, how did you guys keep your main focus, really, because there was obviously a lot going on. And not just that, you know, you're from an era where you were trying to make money off of music that they actually used to, like, stomp in the street, take, you know, they used to burn tapes and stomp them in the street and protest parental advisory, you know, things on the cover. How did y'all keep focus and just maintain to do what you did?
We kept pushing the line. I mean, like I said, the passion is going to keep the flame burning, so there ain't more no stopping it. You know, the momentum was too fierce to stop it. You know, Pac, we all came up under, you know, Ice-T, Two Live Crew, you know, the actual government was trying to ban us and shit. You know what I mean? It was really real. So, you know, the realer it got, the realer we got.
I mean, that you got to fight fire with fire sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely, you know, and, you know, thank God we made it through the other side, but, you know, in that, a lot got diluted, a lot of changes came in the game, technology, the, you know, the whole way of doing things, and, you know, there's less of a presence of urban music in the game that it was back then, in my eyes anyway.
Now, where did you get
you know, and I was very excited for this interview, just to let you know. I mean, because, you know, and not taking anything away from Pac, but I wanted to know more, you know, literally about you. Where did you get your musical influences from? And not just hip-hop. I mean, obviously what got you into hip-hop, but, you know, what is your main musical influence that got you to where you are in the music industry?
Well, you know, I'm Yoda. I was the Yoda, but you know, I'm originally from New York, Southside,
yep.
Jamaica, Queens. You know, so, and, you know, I got a little age on me. So, pre-hip-hop, it was soul. It was soul music, soul and funk music. My older homies in Queens used to get together. You know, one of them played the bass, one of them played the lead guitar, one of them played the drums, and they'd get in the basement and jam. As a shorty, they would let me come down and watch. So I'll watch and listen and watch and listen and listen into the radio at that time. Marvin Gaye was still on the radio at that time. You know what I mean? It was real rich, good music. And, you know, as an artist, that's where I was drawn from, that reggae music. And then it was the birth of hip-hop, and it was on.
Yep.
So,
you
know what I mean? And being in New York, at the birth of hip hop, there was nothing like it, you know. Still.
Now I got to say too, and I talk about this a lot on the show. I think honestly, that's somewhat of the disconnect with hip hop nowadays. Is like you said, Marvin Gaye on the radio. You listen to soul funk. Well, I grew up with records. You know, I listened to classic rock, funk, soul, blues. You name it. You know, I was listening to, even my sister liked musicals. I would listen to those records. You know, and just hear sounds and stuff like that. A lot of the newer generation, they honestly just grew up listening to hip-hop. You know, they don't know about,
yeah,
a lot of that music, and I think that's where you kind of hear the complacent, you know, hip-hop, or sometimes, I'm not saying everybody, don't get me wrong, but they don't really know about a lot of music, and I think that's where the substance kind of lacks nowadays.
And it's so ironic, because with the internet, is more access to more music.
And that's exactly my point. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's why, you know, us as you know, leaders in the hip-hop community, we got to guide the youth, our people, where to go, you know. To the soul music, get back to that soul, man. I'm trying to tell you, get back to the soul. Why you think all these artists, these British little white girls, come out singing soul and the records take off? Boom. Adele, Amy, anybody, you know. And it's like, it's so weird, because soul comes from here, but anytime you put it in the music, it takes off. Why you think they love CeeLo? Because he got soul. You hear it in his voice. You hear the richness. You know, we need people like Anthony Hamilton to come back and do some, because they got soul. You know, you got to make people feel it. There's a market for everything. There's a market for, you know, the electronic, the just synthesized weird beats and all that. There's a market for that. Cool, you do that. Do that. But the rich music is with the soul and the, got to put some soul in it.
Yep. And there's a lot of that missing. Now, saying that too, you know, what's the key to kind of bring that back? I mean, obviously we have the internet where everybody can look everything up, but it's the old saying, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So what do you think the key is to do something like that? To bring soul back to it, to where it's right there.
Well, to make it, the artists that is out, you know, who actually feel it, incorporated in their music, incorporated in your shit. You know, it's like it resonates with me, because that was the birth of hip hop. Soul records, the soul on them records, causing dudes to want to spit something. Period. You know what I'm saying? And dance. So, I mean, the type of dancing I would like to do, the type of clubs I was liking to go to, the type of music, you know, I was liking to hear, you know, we was rapping over them. All them old school, all the James Brown joints.
Yeah.
You know, James Brown was key. You know, I mean, all them soul records. I mean, I don't know. It's just me. But if I was the younger generation, I would be looking into it big time.
I actually got in a, I don't want to say argument because it's Facebook, but How Long Will You Mourn Me? Obviously off the Thug Life album, which is, by the way, one of my favorite albums of all time. There was actually a point where I was going through some crazy stuff in my life, and the only tape I had was Thug Life. So, you know, that album actually got me through quite a bit. But I got an argument over some dudes like, well, that's on, I think he said, The Greatest Hits. And he was like, that's crazy. They should have released that song back in the day or something like that. And I was like, what are you talking about? It was on the Thug Life album. And he was like, well, that's not a Tupac album. I'm like, have you ever even listened to Thug Life? And it just brings to a point. He had never actually looked it up. Even though the technology is right there, he had no idea what the Thug Life album was.
Yeah,
and it was
yeah,
I was
yeah.
blown away. I was blown away. Also, I'm a big Boot Camp fan, and I talk to people about Boot Camp in the East Coast, Duck Down, and I mean obviously Boot Camp. You know, Bach, they did One Nation, and, you know, with Smith and Wesson and them, and they don't know who it is. And then I say, hey, you know the movie Notorious after Little Kim and Biggie get down the first time, she starts singing that Who Got the Props off the radio, and they're like, oh yeah, that's my jam. I'm like, but you never heard of Duck Down or Boot Camp? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, hip hop is getting, you know, it's gotten older. It's like 30, almost 40 years old now. So there's a lot of history. There's a lot of rich music, you know, in the game. You know, things go in cycles. It's just where it is now. It's got to, you know, people got to evaluate where it is now and see where you want it to go and push it there.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, take action. People speaking on it. I hear people speaking on it. I hear people speaking about the game and how they're unsatisfied and this and that. So you got to take action and put it there. You know what I mean? We took action and put it there. Thug Life Project, yes, that was a Pac and Thug Life album. Pac was a part. We were all Thug Life. As a group, that project.
Absolutely.
Was a
Absolutely.
Project. You know.
But the
so
people,
I,
you know, a lot of people are lazy, though, as far as information. So they weren't checking for Thug Life because it just didn't have, it was a group. It didn't just have Tupac's name on it. And even, and again, you brought it up. It's so weird that they're not doing the knowledge because it's right there in front of you.
Actually,
all you got to do is type it.
Actually, Universal's getting ready to do a re-release on the vinyl for our 20-year anniversary. This year is our 20-year anniversary for that album. You know, Rest in Peace, you know, Pac gone.
Yeah.
You know, Rated still locked down. Me and Psych free, so we're going to see what we're going to try to do before the end of the year, you know, for the anniversary. But it's you know, 20 years.
Yep.
You know.
And I still listen to it to this day. I'm just going to say, to this day. I listen to Bury Me a G earlier. I still listen to Thug Life. I'm sorry, it's one of my favorite albums. So it is what it is. But I'm going to go into some of this new music real quick. And we got some callers on the line. Definitely will holler. I'm going to go into this Bay business. Man, tell me a little bit about this track.
Oh, well, you know, I was speaking on originally from New York, but when I came to California, I posted up in the Bay, so I always got love for the Bay. I got my start in the business in the Bay, so, you know, it was a little something for them on, you know, this new project I'm putting together, and, you know, it was Bay business.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you said, though, I knew you from New York, but you originally from, you said Southside Jamaica?
Southside Jamaica, Queens.
That's what's up. I got some other Queens folks in the house listening, too. So big shout-out to Queens and my East Coast fam. Definitely Mo Preem, legends
always
in the house.
Bay business. We coming back. Just, man, history right here on Dafo Radio. Let's go.
Bay business. I told these whole kicks before, sonny, don't test me, won't like me when I'm mad, so please don't vex me. Suckers be mad cause they hoes think I'm sexy, jumping in my face, catching feelings, trying to check me. Can't help the Lord bless me, what can I say? Born in New York, came up in the Bay, pippin' all around me everywhere I turn. No school sideshow, niggas got to learn. Pop a collar, bend the curb as the chronic burn. Got the old school players, Jerry curls and perms. East O, West O, rich town in the beach. The loins HP all down with me. Don't stray in the Bay, don't know the ropes. Mess around, I get smoked in the city of dope. I'll come up short with no lies, so ho. Yeah. Yeah. Home of the Panthers, Hammer and his dancers. Humpty 40 water, Spike Scarry in the answers. JT the bigger figure, hieroglyph at San Quentin. You need to stop playing, let the games begin. We got Two Short, Mac Maul, rapping forte. R.I.P. Kuna, Tupac and Mac Dre. Just a few homies that represent the Bay that truly put it down and they led the way. Hear the freeway rumble from the Harley Hogs. Cougars, Chevelles with the Dolan Dogs. 5.0 rag niggas blasting off. 5.0 chasing half them all shook and lost. A few hours out of home, both the weed is fine. A different woman every day if you're so desired. But don't get caught slipping pants, I bet you're yelling fine. And if you say them niggas off, I know your ass is a lie. That's on the Bay. Bay business. Got the whole world fizzing. We on a mission. Keep that end dope twisting. Bay business. Got the whole world fizzing. We on a mission. End dope stay twisting.
We're renowned for a flavor that's all its own. Known to each and every player, yeah, the Bay is home. Where gorillas and the goons parlay and roam. Where the killers catch you slipping and they follow you home. It's not a game, even the games is hard as hell. Fully loaded mini Glock tucked in the Chanel. Don't get road tricking off in these old hotels. Bay bitches by the business, baby, where's the mail? Pelican Bay, San Quentin, homies in Santa Rita. Hold your head, homeboy, see it when I see it. In the loins, HP, gangsters by the sea. Be legit, juke down, hustlers all around. My nigga Shorty Beats play the bass so profound. Hitting corners, bumping hoopers, Tony the Cool. Young Bay niggas keep it real and cut, so do what you do. Bay business, got the whole world dizzin'. Huh. We on a mission, get that end dope twisted. We ain't business, got the whole world dizzin'. We on a mission, get that end dope twisted.
P-Zone, what up? Say P-Zone, say niggas.
Yo, this is the Mecca Don CEO Smooth and you on Die For Radio, baby. Holla at me.
What's up, y'all? This is the R-A-S, K-A-S-S, saying that from the West, taking it to your fucking chest like breath, and you are now tuned into Die For Radio. You know what it is. Right now, this is A-Plus from the Mighty Hieroglyphics, the Soldier Mischief crew. From now till infinity, we on Die For Radio. Check it out. Anytime you can speak your mind and hear some hip-hop from a head that's really going to tell you how it is. A-Plus in the house, 93 till infinity, Die For Radio. Much love.
This is your boy, Pimp Type, MJ, MJG, you hear me? Die For Radio.
Check it out, y'all. It's your boy, Payne, putting it down for the world-famous M.O.P. One time.
Mic check one, two. Check this out, man. Recognize the voice, this is them boys. Second Steel, Smith and Wesson. You're listening to the number one station, Die For Radio.
Check it, this your man, the original Dirty Rotten Scoundrel, J with the Damager, and you rocking right now, Die For Radio. You know what it is.
Die For Radio in the place to be.
Got my OG homie Mo Preem in the house. You already know it's cracking. Definitely feeling that Bay business. And you know, your music in general, obviously, you know, I'm a fan. That's why I told Casanova Rudd earlier, me ex, you know, I love this platform because I'm still able to be a fan. And it's great to hear new music from you, my G. What's in store for you the rest of the year, 2014, going into 2015?
Well, you know, I'm still out in L.A. on the West Coast doing the Hollywood Shuffle, man. So, you know, I'm doing a little film stuff, doing some music stuff. I'm putting together this Alpha Thug project. I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to release it, but I'll probably drop it by the end of the year for the anniversary, you know, helping out on this Pac movie thing, trying to make it, you know, the best it could be.
Yeah.
And besides that, going overseas, doing shows, you know what I'm saying, keeping it pimping worldwide.
Now, I gotta ask, too, for the Thug Life album. I have my Twitter's blowing up right now with, like, you know, Thug Life questions and everything like that. But I got to ask, I mean, what was the feeling going into that project? You touched on it earlier, you know, everything around, you just had to, you know, keep strong and push strong with it. But doing something like that, what was the feeling going into it that you guys had?
We felt it was necessary. We felt it was the right time for them type of messages. You know, black people in particular, poor, disenfranchised, but black people in particular, we've been whooped on quite a bit over the last few hundred years. So with that type of treatment to a people over that amount of time, create certain behaviors, you know, it changes the people. It makes them a certain way because of their treatment over that time. So, you know, we're a little rougher. You know what I'm saying? We're a little rougher. Our lives are harder. You know, we have different struggles. So, you know, something needed to be done to help those people, us. Quote-unquote thugs, street people, poor, disenfranchised. It resonated so much because Thug Life wasn't about race. It was about economics. It was about, you know, poor people from anywhere could relate to Thug Life because we trying to survive, going up against the man and still trying to survive and take care of your family. And nobody gives a fuck. Nobody gives a fuck. The less money you have, they really don't give a fuck. So that's what that was about. You know, my father, Dr. Matul Shakur, he helped, you know, he helped us write the Thug Code. You know, we had a real purpose for it. We always felt like Thug Life was really more than just a rap group because we had a, you know, an ideology, a social agenda as well. You know, the message kind of got lost along the way to some people, but a lot of people got it. So, you know.
A lot of people got it, by the way. A lot of people got it. And honestly, I have to tell you, too, like, and I'm not hating on, like, Biggie or anything like that, but I always was shocked that there wasn't a Tupac movie made before this, and I'm glad they're actually doing it because, personally, the, you know, Pac story and the whole thing politically, just the whole history of everything, and like you said, what you were just talking about, I think is an amazing movie. And I know it's a little more controversial, for sure.
Yeah.
But good movie isn't a little bit controversial if you're trying to push the edge, like you guys said you've always done?
Yeah, I mean, God bless him. You know, I knew Biggie. You know, people would talk about the situation, but I actually knew Biggie. Biggie was my man. He was supposed to be down with us. It's, you know what I mean? And that started from us being a fan of his music. party and bullshit. We was all over that. And, you know what I mean? And by, you know, different people we knew and probably being who he was, of course, that two talented motherfuckers, they going to end up linking up. But
yep.
Big's body of work is kind of small compared to Pac. So there's a lot more, you know, stuff going on in Pac's story. You know what I mean? And Pac was real polarizing, so and way more polarizing than Biggie. So it's way harder. It's way harder. You know, and coming from where you come from, dealing with all of, yeah, it's a lot going on with that. But you know, it's going to get done.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I'm not taking anything away from Biggie's story because, you know, he, man, accomplished a whole lot. I mean, ridiculous what he accomplished, and more power to him. But again, just especially being, you know, the Pac fan that I am, I just knew, you know, the history of it from, you know, what you were saying to Geronimo Pratt. To, I mean, these are crazy things that are etching, you know, sketched in history that have nothing to do with music. You know, that's a part of that story. So I can't wait for the movie.
Yeah.
I'm glad people are definitely, you know what I'm saying, get into it. I'm going to go to this 919 caller. 919, I believe this is my homie from Queens, Mr. Raw, back on the line. What's happening, Doubtful Radio with Mopreme? Legends in the house, homie. What's cracking?
No doubt, no doubt. You know, I always want to come through and salute the dudes that's still doing it like myself. And then to hear that you came from my hometown and possibly not even knowing maybe my home block, because I'm from Southside Jamaica, Queens. I reside in North Carolina right now, but I'm do or die South Side. When you said that, it was like, what? It had the Scooby-Doo sound on the phone, like, hmm?
Yeah. My nigga, if you look on that Thug Life album, if you ever got the physical copy, you look on the back of the credits, shout out to Jamaica Queens, no doubt.
What part of Jamaica, though? What part?
Basie Park. South Park.
Stop lying, kid. I live right up the block from Baisley. I live on Sufton and Linden. Oh, it's over.
What?
Man.
I'm 146 in Rockaway.
Oh, up the block from me.
Yeah,
oh, it's done. It's done. It's done. We got to do a song together now. It's over. It's over. I got to do it. You got to get my info from Die 4. We got to connect the dots and show homage, man. I just respect you just for doing what you do. And I agree with what you were saying on certain aspects, because even to the depth of knowing that Tupac was from the East Coast, he's from New York too, and he was another successful rapper that was from the East that went to the West and made it. And it sounds funny because I'm from the East, but now that I'm here in North Carolina is when my situation is moving a lot faster and things are going. So sometimes you got to leave your hometown for things to go down. And you know, his story was definitely a little more intricate than Biggie. And, I mean, I love Biggie, don't get me wrong. And, you know, the argument goes on forever, how they always say who's better, Biggie or Tupac. And I was like, it's not really a contest because Tupac had a way more body of work. If you could die and still have new releases for the next 5 to 7 years after you die without somebody trying to recycle your music, then that means you was diligent. I put that in my intro to my album. And I said, I'm going to do a Tupac and record all of my legacy. So after I'm not on this earth, you will remember me. It's the truth. He had a poetry album. He dropped 2 or 3 more albums in a movie. No disrespect to Biggie, but after that, Puffy was recycling Biggie verses, and he was bringing you back the young party and bullshit Biggie, and you could tell it from the voice. So after that, Biggie didn't – look at my man Pun, another incredible artist. But we didn't hear nothing else after that. So, I mean, their movement stopped at a certain pace when Tupac's clock was still clicking and ticking, thinking of the next move when he locked himself in the studio and recorded so many days consecutively. He was thinking of the future, like, no, listen, I'm not going to be here forever, but I want my legacy to last on. So it's going to be a beautiful thing to see a Tupac movie. You know, it's something that's definitely anticipated, and like Dad said, it's going to be controversial because that's the way he went out. He went out with controversy. He went out with a bang, and that's the way he wanted to go out. But he definitely left the legacy, something for us to appreciate and respect. And I salute you for still doing what you do. You know what I'm saying? And repping hard to matter where your hood started to where your hood is in process right now, my G. And I'm just glad I got a chance to chop it up with you.
God bless you, man. God bless you for sure. You know, we keep it moving, man. Got to keep it moving.
Nothing wrong with that, man. While you moving, I'm grooving, and we're going to do it together. I tell them all the time, it's that real good, feel good, true school hip-hop. No old school, young school. The true school, my G.
Amen, brother. Amen.
That's what's up. That's what's up, Mr. Rob. We appreciate you, my G. Obviously, always, you know what I'm saying, Doubtful Radio, big things. I gotta hit this meat mugging joint, man. I gotta blow their wigs off with this one. We live with Mopreme, OGs in the house, legends in the house, knowledge in the house. Let's do this. Call us, press one.
Like
if you wanna...
baby.
Oh man, this is crazy history right here. What a beautiful, beautiful day in hip hop, night in hip hop. Let's go, me mugging these fools.
You know what it is. Mopreme Shakur, Deviant Tracks, we in the house, we in this, we're easy life.
Smooth as cashmere, sharp as a tack, that's why y'all be looking at me like that. Mopreme the dreamer, shine like Vaseline, going on the various and obvious schemes. Cats broke back and I accomplished the max, catching a hernia for all these niggas on my sack. Move with precision, my woman, she's a vision. School y'all to the game for those willing to listen. Now I understand your frustration. Suckers climb while all the real niggas waiting. Sad dudes don't know their limitations, but I ain't the one for that frontin' and that facing. Your mean mug could get you fried like bacon. I would rather have stimulating conversation. So if you choose, just continue on hating while I ball and you fall. Muggin', muggin'. Why your boy me muggin'? 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 Pump your brakes, dog, see me pass. Easy now, don't move too fast. My nerves bad, wouldn't like me when I'm mad. Look at you clowns and y'all really make me laugh. Alarm staff wreck all in its path. So don't get cute and you won't have to bash. Beware when I flash, been back snapped in half. These cats I roll with been labeled psychopath. On every street I'm known and my ties are deep. What me and mine possess you so awful cheap. Envy my pennies, my travels to great cities. But you really see the solo game and don't get silly. I'm at the pinnacle, balling is a ritual. Continue me mugging, I just need a time to spit at you. While I'm dipping through your city on twitties, I know it's killing you. And I ain't feeling muggin'. Why your boy me muggin'? 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 Yeah, Prem, I'm prone to bone and get it on. Checking traps and racking stacks like cyclones. My pimp bones gets groans when it performs. Stable full of dime pieces to get it on. I'm all alone in the zone and you can't holler. Niggas living in the past, I'm off into tomorrow. Look at you and feel sour. Face bent up into a scowl. On the hate side, got you living foul. Observe the style, exceptional profile. Soak up the game and let the lame shake you foul. I can't be seen like a top of killing ninja. My pimp cup is full, set to take a swallow. Move those blindness from your eyes, gosh, shouldn't think so now. Aim high, take flight, that's all I can foul. Haters arms too short to box with the fouls. So keep it church and you won't be faced with the battle. Muggin', why your boy me muggin'? Muggin', why your boy me muggin'? Muggin', why your boy me muggin'? Muggin'. Why your boy me
muggin'? You know what it is. Thug Life, Prem, Deviant. Watch out.
Nah, Doubtful Radio. That track's crazy right there. Mopreme in the house.
And that's, I was crazy listening to it, the soul, exactly what you're talking about is there. I'm really feeling that track, my G.
Oh, man, thank you, man. Thank you, thank you. God bless you, God bless you. Yeah, man, I try to do what I love. That's what it is.
Now, I got a Twitter message from Mike in Australia, Sydney, Australia, who's listening to the show through the internet right now. And he wants to know, is there still Tupac songs out there that haven't been heard?
Yes. I mean, there's songs that haven't been officially released. There's, you know, shit leaks on the internet. But there's still songs that haven't been officially released that the whole world hasn't heard yet.
That's what's up. Big shout out to Sydney, Australia. They waiting for...
Yeah, big shout out to Sydney, man. Y'all need to bring me out there. Stop playing. Y'all bring the Outlaws out there. Y'all didn't bring no Prima out there. Y'all crazy. But holler at your boy. Anyway, go on, my brother.
Oh, man, just blessed. But I definitely have some people in Australia that would be definitely interested in that. So I'll send you some information after the show and everything. Because they got a huge following out there. They'd be waiting... I'm going to connect some dots, man. I can definitely do that. I know some people out there.
Yeah, because over the years, you know, I've been touring. And I did tour Brazil, Thailand, Sweden. I just did a show like a year ago with Dub C, Nipsey Hussle, Outlaws, Bone Thugs, you know. But I'm trying to get to Australia, you know what I mean? So tell them holla.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, musically, through everything you've done, what do you think your biggest accomplishment has been so far to you, honestly, personally? And I know having fans and people to support your music is a huge thing. But personally, what do you think your just moment probably in hip hop that is most personal to you that stands out?
Well, there's a couple. I mean, you know, my working relationship with my brother in the game is invaluable. I mean, even though I have other marks like Feels Good was my first record, first joint I'm ever on, went number one, platinum, out the door. You know, I'm the first one in the family, and the Shakurs, I'm the first Shakur with a hit record, then came Pac. So, but the stuff that Pac and I, and the stuff that I helped Pac accomplish, that tops everything.
Yep. I agree. Now,
the Thug Life album in particular, because at the time Pac was super hot. We had a lot of work going on, and you know, we're brothers. We hustling though. You know what I mean? We trying to keep it moving. We had a unique experience. Both of us was hot in the business at the same time. So, and Pac was doing movies too. So he was in New York while he was in New York doing Above the Rim, like Mo. You stay on the West Coast, look over the Thug Life album, pick the tracks, woofty-woop, get it recorded. And so, you know, things like that, I will never forget. It was, you know, it's invaluable.
Now, it's amazing the impact, you know, and not talking about the newer generation, but, well, some of them in the new generation, but it's amazing the impact the album had on hip-hop. I mean, that's such a well-put-together album. I couldn't imagine anything else at that time sounded like that. I mean, it was absolutely so influential, and to this day that, and you, like you said, we're coming up with the anniversaries here. You know,
yeah.
How does it feel to still be that relevant, my G? I mean, for real, because when you're talking about a classic album like that, I mean, how does that feel in 2014? You said it a little bit, but, you know, you're the one that did it. You're the one that has the passion for it. So kind of on the outside looking in,
it's bittersweet. You know, it's bittersweet. It's bittersweet. It's I'm blessed to have been a part of it, to help create it, but at the same time, you know, a lot of my niggas ain't here.
Yeah.
You know, it was blood, sweat, and tears, you know what I mean? So it would be nice to be able to have a reunion with everybody there. You know what I mean? It would be nice to, you know, have everybody for the next one, or you know what I mean? But it is what it is. It's a classic. It's history. So I'm going to be thankful for that, you know, and just keep it pushing.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, rest in peace, Gaddafi from the Outlaws as well, man. Very talented MC, someone that hip-hop still needs today. You know what I'm saying? Big shout-out to the Outlaws because, man,
yeah.
Big everybody.
Rest in peace, Yaki Gaddafi, Machiavelli, Big Stretch, Johnny J. You know.
Absolutely. So I feel you on the bittersweet part. But you know, I'm just gonna have to say, man, it's been a pleasure just having you on his airways, you speaking your mind, you taking the time with us. I'm definitely gonna be connected with you behind the scenes because, like I said, I do know some people out there in Australia. In fact, DJ D Boss out there is a big DJ for the radio station out there in Sydney, and she does a lot of moves to the west. I mean, she's a huge West Coast fan, dude. I mean, she's out there, good DJ, white girl, drives a 6'4 Impala. I mean, like, out there in Sydney, Australia, wearing, like, Compton hats and all sorts of crazy shit, but really established out there. So big shout-out to DJ D-Boss. And we're definitely going to connect that because, yeah, we need to get you all out there, man. That ain't no thing.
Yeah, you need to get Prem out there because, you know, they be reaching out. I'll be having some fans to reach out every now and then up from out there. So it's all good all over the world. Thug Life Baby, we still smashing.
Absolutely. So go ahead, give your last shout-outs, man, and then obviously I definitely need – a Dafo radio drop from the legend himself. But go ahead and give your last shout-outs and everything you got going so people and also make sure people got your Twitter and everything like that so they can start following you if they're not already.
Yeah. Big shout-out. Mo Prem Shakur, Thug Life Outlaw Immortal, Dafo Radio. Big shout-out to all the homies, all the comrades, East Coast, West Coast, Down South, International Sin. You know what I mean? You want to holler at me, get at me at Mo Prem Shakur is my Twitter, Facebook/Mo Prem Shakur. My website is MoPremShakur.com. You know what it is. Much love to all the diehard hip-hop heads out there. Y'all had Casanova Bud up there, you know what I mean? Much love to all the hip-hop community for, you know, showing your boy some love.
Absolutely. And just honestly, homie, absolute pleasure and an honor. You know, I'm humbled by you taking the time. And all the guests we had, Mia X, you know, Casanova Rudd, I appreciate all, you know, like I said, everybody that represents hip-hop like you guys do and from an era. And again, it's not this digital era. You guys actually had to hustle, you know, real copies of CDs. They weren't downloading digital. I mean, you're from an era where the hustle had to be immaculate. You know, and not on the digital era. Plus, again, you couldn't just have a home studio back then. I mean, that's a huge thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you have to adapt and overcome. So I am adapting to the situation. I could be like, I'm finna do like the RZA and the Wu. They're making one record, one album, going to the highest bidder. You know, we got to flip the game on them. You know, they made it so where it's cool to just steal our shit. And I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, I got you. No, I feel you 100%, 100%. I mean, we looking forward to the new projects, my G. We looking forward to your new endeavors. We looking forward to that Pac movie. And you and I are definitely going to be in touch, man. I'm definitely going to connect these dots, have you start talking to some people down there at the radio stations because I know they can make something happen. And there's legends in the house. You know what I'm saying? West Coast in the house.
Stop playing. Stop playing.
To you, my G, have a blessed night. Thank you for stopping by Dafo Radio. This is definitely a track I'm going to throw out right now.
to all the fallen ones. Rest in peace to all the good ones. Everybody, man, rest, you know, crazy show. Die for radio. Let's go.
On my teens, a young G, getting paid off the dope fiends, fucking off cash that I make. Nigga, what's the sense of working hard if you never get to play? I'm hustling, staying out till the dawn and coming home at 6 o'clock in the morning. Hands on my clock, eyes on the prize, finger on the trigger when a nigga ride. Shooting craps, busting niggas off the dough, pick my money off the floor. God bless the straight fuck, stuck on food, drunk again, sipping on gin with a couple of friends. Say them thug life niggas be like major picks, sticking to the rules was a major sin. And if I die, let it be, but when they come for me, bury me in G. I ain't got time for bitches, gotta keep my mind on my motherfucking riches. Even when I die, they won't worry me. Mama don't cry, bury me in G. And I ain't got time for bitches, gotta keep my mind on my motherfucking riches. Even when I die, they won't worry me. Mama don't cry.
More trouble than the average. Just made 25 and I'm living like a savage. Being a dude ain't no easy thing, cause you can fuck around, get cross, nigga stuck in the game. And for the rest of your life you can sit and reminisce. Wonder why I had to end like this. And to the G's you can feel my pain, until the motherfucker gets born again.
You thought I was a gang kid, I'm not the nigga for playing your game. I let my buckshot sway when I pull the trigger on my gang. I'm on a rap page, making runs for the devil. Ain't nothing on my mama give me some trouble. I'm tired of my double lungs from the home office to get a nigga from the bus or in some jewelry store. I get some fuck niggas out of luck when I bust. Put me to my death, but I'm a G to the enemy.
I ain't got time for bitches, gotta keep my mind on my motherfucking riches. Even when I die, they won't worry me. Mama don't cry, bury me. I ain't got time for bitches, gotta keep my mind on my motherfucking riches. Even when I die, they won't want me. Mama don't try, bury me, G.
I got nothing to lose, so I choose to be a killer. Went from banging to slanging, now I'm a dope dealer. All my life paid the price to be the boss. Back in school, broke the rules, I'm getting tossed. Popping rocks on the block was a pastime. Pack a nine all the time, you wanna test mine. Don't cry, I'll die before they play me. From the cradle to the grave, bury me up, G.
Kicking it with the homies in the hood, getting drunk, smoking blunts. My bitch said I'm no good, I give a fuck, I spend my time in a dope spot. Never had no time for no bitch, just playing a run. And bust the caps on your punk ass walk. Fake ass G's, bitch niggas with no heart. I'm staying real till I'm 6 feet deep. So when a nigga gone, bury me up, G.
Ain't got time for bitch, gotta keep my mind on my motherfucking bitch. Even when I die, they won't worry me. Mama don't cry.
Suck on fool, Tangeray got a nigga high. Lord knows I don't need another DUI. I live a thug life, heartless hustler. Just cause I fuck don't mean I trust her. Now my pages vibrating, can't sleep. So I'm mobbing to the hoes house, bumping eyes in. Is it cool to fuck, is what I'm asking. Bitch recognize game and start laughing. Now I'm all in the guts of shit. Praying that a nigga don't nut too quick. Cause I fucking get up, I let you know I'll be a 10-minute brother for a $2 hole. Lots of hoes get mad as shit. I let a trick be a trick, you can have that bitch. Cause I doubt if I change the game, the motherfucker. Real niggas turn to busters, bury me a G.
causing me favoritism. I heard of being doping, but this beats the mover, the choreographer causing your funky dope maneuver. I'm your boss rapping, you're the crop for hire. For music supplements, the funky drum is your supplier. Me, when on the hip hop, I'll make you get down into the jam. Girls, I am a shining. You two the super lovers to clap to my funky rhyming. Lovers what I'm called, cause my love girls only tell it. Calente is my name, but then I really seldom tell it. Just because it's funky don't mean you can't get it. While everybody's doing it, surely you will be with it. Cause I'm rocking the hip hop to make it get down to do the James. Much better now, girls, get off it. You're starving, I'm your meal, so come down with a blizzard. What is it, a blizzard? Now do y'all want me to come visit? Let me take it easy with girls, I can't romance them. Cause me, they hope for ransom, and simply cause I am handsome. Living off my looks, I abuse it cause they will choose it. Appearance not the only thing kicking, so is my music. Kicking both the technique don't come from the Shaolin Temple. Funky beats in my dope and rhyming make it so simple. I'm your entertainer, causing you to get down, so do the James. Rockin', picture that like a photographer. My rhythm talk is pumping, my beat is your choreographer. Bad on the mic, soft and warm, but not a sucker. Fill out your heart, baby, I'm your quicker picker-upper. And why I like the microphone ain't nothing in particular. Love is what I like, and to rap is extracurricular. Truth, you know my super rap group, so don't you lie. When it comes to rockin' something fierce, do I. When it comes to girls, I'll attract them like a magnet. You want a piece, I get majority, you get a fragment. Girls just love me so conceited, I can tell they all excited from my music. Plus, they might be overwhelmed at the fact I'm handsome. And so fly, I'm not slurring, I'm preferring to me, myself, and I'm your entertainer, causing you to get down for the change.
Radio in the house. I gotta say, that's my jam still to this day. Mr. Ross still on the line. I believe we still got the big homie Casanova. Rudd, you still rocking with us, my G?
Yeah, I'm still on the line over here texting some shorty while I'm up. You know, y'all got me past my bedtime, so I can, you know, I might as well just rock out for a minute, yeah? Listen to y'all.
Queen, that's how we do it.
Yeah, I was feeling the convo, so I couldn't just, you know, abruptly hang up on y'all, you know what I'm saying? I'm still a supporter. Just because you have me on the line doesn't mean it's all about me, you know what I'm saying? It's all about y'all, too. I'm paying attention.
No, I appreciate that. And honestly, you know, although it's a music-derived show, I never tried to not have it somewhat of a talk show, or, you know, information, communication, the whole nine yards. That's important to me on my show. And, you know, big shout-out to, you know, Mia X was dropping knowledge. You were dropping knowledge. Mopreme dropping knowledge. And that's exactly what I want. But what I was going to say, you know, especially bumping that, even for back then, now, say something like that digitally, super easy to make. We can do something that sounds like it's in the studio in our house. I don't think
the people understand how hard something like that was even to put on wax. I mean, technology-wise, it was all, everything was hardware. Everything, there was no digital, nothing. And I think, too, a lot of people don't appreciate that fact of old school music. The process.
And you know, and what's ironic is that feel that Mo was talking about was like that soul, that's lost in the recorders, because back, you know, when we was doing stuff, it was recorded on analog, but everything's digital now. So that analog tape, them 2-inch reels that you would put all your music on, the 24 tracks and all that, it was a warmer feel to it, you know. Now it's too sharp and crisp. You don't feel any warmth to it. You know what I'm saying? It's all replicated, you know what I'm saying?
Now I'm a producer, artist, engineer, you know, myself. And even my little home studio, I got good equipment in here and everything. You know what I'm doing. But I even had to buy a plug-in that's a valve emulator, because I don't like that sharp. I like that analog sound. So I actually had to, even though they're emulating it, I still had my master outputs on my masters and everything. I run through all analog-based plug-ins.
Nice.
I got to, though, but that's the sound I like. It's just full. And it's... Big shout out to my dude Jay Sos from Die For, from my camp out here. I've been telling him, he's a little younger, but I've been telling him about vinyl. And he's good with the MPC. And I was like, get some vinyl. He finally did it, got his record player last week. He texted me, I think it's the exact words. He was like, yo, why does this sound like this? And that he's almost now like boycotting iTunes and the whole thing, because he's in now sampling off of vinyl and listening. He even bought some newer records on vinyl. And he's just like, he doesn't want to listen to music any other way now.
and it's crazy. And you know what's ironic is that a lot of the music is going back. I mean, like digging in the crates. That's really coming back. They got like secret societies, you know, not no Illuminati or nothing. Don't get it twisted. But, you know, people that are digging in the crates for old 45 records, you know what I'm saying? And people just collecting. And it's like, when you find something that's never been found before, you know what I'm saying? Salt leaf, I mean, stuff that you know, you might have heard before, but you don't have it in your possession. And it's hard for people to get because, you know, people put digital catalogs online of stuff that, you know, their favorites and all that. A lot of the stuff is you can't find digitally, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You got to go in those old record stores, you know what I'm saying? You got to go in grandma's basement and dig in these crates and find a lot of these lost things, man, you know what I'm saying? And that was, you know, I'm a producer and an engineer also myself, and that's part of the science of hip-hop too, is finding that right sound, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of the music that we did back then was really a lot of sample-based stuff as well. So a lot of it now isn't like that. And the feel of that soul that Mo Preem was talking about before is lost from the essence of sampling, because that's part of hip-hop as well. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, everybody want to make money. All these dudes come out of the woodwork that they record probably wouldn't even be played if we didn't sample it. You know what I'm saying? But once we all acknowledge each other, I mean, we should all flourish. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, now they're just trying to, like, avoid paying for samples and all that. They're just doing the straight-up synthesized sounds, the same templated sounds, you know what I'm saying? And that's why things sound the same. There's no creativity. Nobody's digging for those lost gems, you know what I'm saying?
I completely agree with you. The one thing I will have to say with the DJs I've talked to, and I'm talking from, you know, Babu to Kaz to Kool V to, you know, everybody, the one thing they do talk about is when they travel now for shows, especially when you go overseas, stuff like that, they don't lose, irreplaceable records through customs and traveling and stuff like that. That's the one thing they like now about it. But the feel, you know, they always say they still got the 1200s, they still got everything like that. And I'm going to go to Mr. Raw, too, in a second. But with that sample scare, which you were just talking about, you just got to be more creative. You can turn anything into a chop that, honestly, you make it your own instrument. I mean, MPCs do it well. I just bought the machine, Native Instruments, you know what I'm saying? And it's actually pretty impressive for a software-based / hardware. But MPC-wise, I still work with, I've always had MPCs. Just chop it more create an instrument. You know, mess with the pitches. Mess with the time stretch, something like that, to where it's unique to where you're not sampling. You know, not everybody has to take a loop and then, you know, I mean, it's a digital era. The sky's the limit.
Not, yeah, that you 100% right. But you see, you got to keep in mind, a lot of times now people avoid even any inkling of any sampling because they don't want to get sued. So, you know, they just doing some garage band reasons
yeah.
type of beats, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, I just think that it's, I mean, it just sounds dumbed down to me personally, but, you know, I mean, production, I mean, your perception of what art is, you know, is different from anybody else's perception of it. But to me, I think the essence of what hip-hop was, for, where I came from, is lost because the vinyl aspect of it isn't involved anymore. It's all just somebody playing the keyboard, just looping up a sequence, and let's just do a little a catchy hook to it. And, you know, there's not even any lyrics involved with any songs anymore. You know, people might say a couple of things, but the main key is just to make sure that the stripper can dance at the party and he can keep flinging dollars and the beat up tempo and everybody's dancing. Everything ain't always happy-go-lucky, my dude. There's a story to be
told. Hell
no. You know what I mean? And a lot of times it gets lost, the message gets lost because everybody's trying to be, you know, the next big up-and-coming person, you know what I'm saying? And they feel if they're off the path of what they think a successful direction is, they feel like, okay, I'm going to get lost, and if I do something different, they're not going to check for me. So let me sound like this person. Let me sound like that. Back in the days, you'd be shunned. You would get your head took off if you took somebody's style or somebody's beat or somebody's rhyme. Those beat biters, dope style takers. But now, there's dudes emulating, then they're taking people's whole styles and they get exonerated for it. I don't understand the science behind it. But, you know, that's another story.
No, it is, and I actually brought it up to Mia X, and I know, like I said, Mr. Ball gets some input, but from an era where you were actually successful by sounding different, and now we're in an era where you actually get success by sounding like the next man. And there's another thing, too, we're bringing up records. We grew up listening to records and blues. I mean, we grew up listening to other music, and we, you know, put that into hip-hop, like in the Moprim said it. You got to apply it to the hip-hop. Here's another thing. You said these cats are playing the keyboard. They're not playing the keyboard. They can track it out, unlimited tracks. They're playing keyboard one finger at a time and tracking it up. I grew
right.
up playing blues and Prohibition boogie-woogie on an upright, out-of-tune grand piano. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, I play with both hands. I can do walking basses, all sorts of shit. You know what I'm saying? From a dude, I learned it from my family, from my dad and my uncle, who eventually learned how to play the piano, and they didn't even know how to read music. They hear something and play to it.
Right.
You know, but these kids, and it's not, you know, it's not their fault they're born in 2000 or whatever the year that, you know, it is that makes you an adult now, because it makes me, you know, like, wow. But at the same time, they don't listen to any of that music. All they listen to is the hip-hop that's out right now, or the rock music that's out right now. And that's all they attribute to their music. They don't have the knowledge of all the classics and the records and the soul. Mr. Raw, I mean, your feedback.
Listen, to me, the best MCs are over 30. You know, I give credit to those that are hungry, but their ribs was never touching. It's just like when you have your little kids and they come to you, I'm hungry, and you really turn to them and say, listen, you never experienced the actual word hungry. I have 29 crates of records that I brought with me to North Carolina, and I fit maybe 62, 65 records in each crate. So you do the numbers, you know, do the maths. You know, 69 times 29, it's a lot of records. I have test pressings. I ran Casanova Run Down. The Funky Dope Maneuver. What the Funky Dope Maneuver? What the Funky Dope Maneuver? I used to tear the turntables up until he don't even sound. He sound cloudy and all scratchy. I sampled way before a Kanye West, but at the time we were nervous about putting it out there because they were suing for all this stuff. Like, one of the unsung heroes that should have been the most richest man in the world was James Brown. As many people has used James Brown samples, James Brown drum patterns, James Brown riffs, James Brown yells. He didn't get the money off of that. So when they turned around and they was like, well, listen, anybody use anything that I got, then we're going to sue them. I said it on Die 4. I say it on all the other radio stations I deal with. I said, when I was coming up, Big Daddy Kane, didn't sound like Biz Markie, didn't sound like Casanova Rudd, didn't sound like Kool Moe Dee, didn't sound like LL Cool J. But now there's certain times that I hear J. Cole and he sounds like Drake and he sounds like Kendrick Lamar, who sounds like Wale, who sounds like B.O.B., who sounds like, you know, some of them sound so similar, and the beats are so similar with the and they all can be played back to back. Back in the
you can't even distinguish who's who. I'm like, my son is 17. He's an aspiring artist himself. He plays stuff for me all the time. I can't even, I ask him, who's this? Who's that? I don't even know who's who. Everybody sound like each other. Continue, bro.
Yo, do you remember Dirty Harry?
Definitely.
All right. Yeah. Remember when Dirty Harry used to take one beat. And he was the first. He was one of the first mixtape MCs that mixtape DJs to do this. He would take one beat and play it for maybe like 9 minutes, and take verses from everybody's song, and it made them sound like they were all on the one song. That was the hottest thing at that time. You would hear Dirty Harry, and you would hear one long beat, then you hear a DMX verse next to a Jay-Z verse, next to a Busta Rhymes verse, next to an Eminem verse, next to a Method Man verse, and you'd be like, when did they get on the same song? Well, that's what the new music sounds like. It sounds like one long ass, make it easy for the DJ in the club, because it ain't got to be nothing hard to blend back-to-back long-ass song. And now everybody wants to start that rhyming that they think is new, but we've been doing it for so long. What makes you think that Chip Fool wasn't doing that? What makes you think that Nickens and the other and back in the days of Bush Babies and so I could name so many MCs that was rhyming fast. What makes y'all think y'all got anything new with us? The only thing that they do that we didn't knew, it was a law. We didn't back-to-back words. If I said, you know the way I feel, you cannot say, you know the way I feel in the next bar. It sounded stupid. But now, you can do it. Ever since Mike Jones said, back in the days you wasn't on me, and now maybe you're on me. Back in the day, what, you couldn't fill in those bars, my G? You had to stick the same things in the back-to-back bars? You couldn't think?
Not to interrupt you, Mr. Roberts, so can a little bit of what's out there and what we're talking about be blamed on the DJs nowadays? I know there's some raw DJs that are always going to play hip-hop, but the DJs at clubs, they get paid to do the venue. They don't get paid royalties to play these songs, so can we blame the DJs a little bit nowadays?
No, yes and no. Before I'm going to touch on that, I'm going to touch on something very funny. What I realized, too, is, you know, when Casanova Rudd, me and you in the car, and I want you to hear this CD, but I've been playing it all over the place. I put it in, and all of a sudden my CD goes, when I came around, and you'd be like, what the hell is with the CD? It skipped. Did you know that all of a sudden that's what they put in the songs now? And it's hot. That started from a skipping CD. Don't let nobody fool you. All of a sudden Nicki Minaj is like, I was in it. Somebody said, yo, that sound hot, let's do it. That's how whatever they think is trendy has nothing to do with skills. Skills is where we were. Trendy is where they are. When you can say, I ain't worried about nothing 52 times and it becomes a hit, that still bogs my mind. I ain't worried about nothing. I ain't worried about nothing. I was like, that's all he says? When you see Soulja Boy get to be a millionaire off of you, and my you is different. And Dialeski will tell you, I say, my you different. My bars are totally different. It's what's trendy for the young dudes. It was what's skillful for us. But there's a lane, and it's coming back to normal because they're tired of hearing us saying they whack. So don't you notice they're starting to try to write their bars a little better now? Because they're tired of us G's original gentlemen out here who really was nice with it. They're tired of saying, yo, y'all music is whack. So they try to step it up, but they ain't going to never be able to mess with the dream team. The dream team is the veteran players. These new rookies, they could do a couple of things. They ain't messing with the dream team.
And I noticed that people, like back in the days when we was doing stuff, it was stuff called creative control and artist development, and technology wasn't as vast as it is now. So, you know, we had more control of what we would put out, what was available. Because, you know, back in the days, we couldn't just turn on the computer and find a million things to listen to. You know what I'm saying? We had to sit and wait till like 12 o'clock midnight to hear the Awesome 2 or,
you know,
right.
You know, back then, you know, it's like you were anticipating on hearing something, you know, and what you heard, it was of quality because the people behind it was presenting it with quality. But now everybody are their own radio station. Everybody are their own record company. Everybody's their own producers. I mean, you don't even need a recording studio no more. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
I lost my job as an audio engineer because studios going out of business. Everybody got a studio on their computer with templates to show you how to mix and master.
Yep.
You don't even need to pay nobody to do that no more. You know what I'm saying? So
YouTube.
The market is oversaturated with too much stuff. You know what I'm saying? So there's no filter to filter out, you know, the I'm not saying the garbage, but the norm, and you're not really getting a chance to hear people that's going in another direction. There's people out here that's still doing different things and still have that same feel of old school, and even if this new stuff is different than what's currently out, but it's just so much stuff for you to sort through, it's hard to find, you know what I'm saying?
But bittersweet, like I guess Mopreme said, because obviously before the digital era where it was that easy, like you said, you lost a job as engineer because of home studios. It's amazing, though, because now that you have that technology, wouldn't they want to follow the formula that made it happen and sound good and everything before they had that technology?
Nope.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like the formula has changed to do hip-hop, but it's so much easier to do. Wouldn't you want to manipulate what it was hard to do and make it look easy than try to make something easier? You feel what I'm saying?
I agree with you 100%. And to go even further, you know, back then the only way you can get your stuff heard was for you to sign with a label, you know what I'm saying? But now you have control of your issue, your agenda, you know what I'm saying? And what you put out, I mean, before they would be in control of what you put out, but now you could be creative. You have to be selective with what you put out, what you represent as an artist, what your actual message is, you know what I'm saying? Don't get caught up with all these people just trying to be just like the next person. Be yourself. Stay true to your craft and try to be as original as possible, man, because you are controlling your own situation. You know what I'm saying? You could get your full 100%. If you were down with a label back then, you were getting probably 8% of your 100. And you've been blood, sweated, and teared your whole life to get to that point, and you never reaped the success financial success from your creativity. But now you can do that, but people don't see how much power they have, and they let it go by the wayside. And that's the problem.
And even iTunes has changed, because when iTunes first came out, an independent artist wasn't getting his music on there. But now you could pay TuneCore or whatever other 100 programs you have, and now you're on iTunes, you're on Pandora, you're on Spotify, you're on Amazon, you're on this, and you're actually keeping about 80% of your money. Now it has to do with all singles now, because they can preview your album. So it's almost like you have to drop, you know, singles, because we used to have to buy the album. You had to make that sacrifice. If you wanted to talk about hip-hop too, of course you bought some whack albums, but you couldn't talk about it unless you bought it. I mean, maybe you listened to it from the homie, but still, I used to buy music just to be able to talk about it, whether I liked it or not.
But
now
you
hear...
Go ahead. What's ironic now, nobody really buys music. All they do is somebody get it from a free download, you know what I mean? And then someone else makes a copy. You'll send me a copy of this. Nobody even care about the artist that's being behind, going through the makers of this to help. Because they got to keep in mind, a lot of these people, this is their life. This is their livelihood. You know what I'm saying? If you can't support an artist by purchasing his product, how is that artist going to survive? And people don't realize that. You know what I'm saying? And back in the days, you would buy a whole album just to get one song. But right now, you could just get any song off of the album, and you could be selective. You're not really getting the whole entirety of the feel, because a lot of time when people were doing albums, it was a whole feel. Like, say, for example, like the De La Soul album. You couldn't just take one song off the album. The whole album was the feel to it. You know what I'm saying? And for you to get the full picture, you had to get the full album. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people don't realize what they're missing out on by not supporting an artist fully. You know what I'm saying? Just liking the song because of the hook. Because it's not about that. Try to get into that person's life and support them. You know what I'm saying?
Now saying that, do you think artists nowadays are taking less time
with their actual album as a project, whether EP, LP, whatever it is, and more worried about the few singles they're going to have on the album, because now people can preview it. So, you know, they're not going to like all the songs. You know, let's focus on these singles. Do you think that's what's happening also?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, there's people keeping track of stats with this. Like, you know, okay, this thing ain't getting a lot of hits on it. We might have mm-hmm. to just let this go by the wayside. Sometimes it takes 8-9 months to break a record. You know what I'm saying? But once you give up on something just because you're not getting enough likes or you don't have enough plays, I mean, a lot of those plays and those likes are bought these days. So don't let that get caught. Don't get caught up with that as well. These people think
really?
That people
ludicrous.
Got a million views. You ain't. I mean, there's people who got a million views that I never even heard of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
that's
you know,
true.
You gotta be, so you know, you gotta be aware of what's going on. I'm talking about the big companies that's trying to get behind people. You know, they'll always go by, you know, how many hits somebody has. You know what I mean? Go by the actual hit itself. Is it something that's viable that can do something? You know what I mean? Not just because they got a million people that liked it. They don't mean that they technically like it. They heard it. You know what I'm saying? And people, they see. And one thing that I know, and let me just touch on something real quick. A lot of music is lost, like territorially, meaning like back in the days we had the West Coast sound, we had the East Coast sound, we had the Dirty South sound, we had overseas. Now everything sounds like it's from ATL. Nothing wrong with ATL though, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, come on, man. I mean, Clear Channel, y'all. I mean, y'all gotta let some more music be heard on these radio stations. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's funny because I always, I don't know,
I mean,
when I think of ATL, you know what
yeah.
thing that comes to me is Southern Playlist of Cadillac Funky Music, and I don't hear nothing like that right now.
Crazy.
I mean, I understand there's been a lot of progress, you know, no, I mean, T.I.'s done his thing, Luda's obviously done his thing, but in my mind, that was an ATL classic hip-hop album. Outkast's first album was amazing.
But you see,
every
you know,
album
they
dropped is amazing.
They're one of the most creative people of all time when it comes to
yeah.
hip hop music. You know what I'm saying? They rode their own lane. You know, they had their own highway when you think about it. You know what I'm saying? You can't even put them in the same category as a lot of cats. But they stood
no.
out because at that time they were so different than the norm that
yep.
they made a real impact. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody was sounding like each other so much. Once they hit the market, it was like a breath of fresh air. We need breaths of fresh air. That's the problem.
And I loved, you know, Quim and I, ATLians and everything. I'm not saying, you know, none of the other albums were good, but, you know, I'm a teenager and it was very influential when it came out. But that sound always stuck out of my mind as far as Atlanta. But so I'll ask you, though, Auntie Casanova, what are some of the newest artists? It doesn't have to be East Coast, West Coast, just, you know, universally in hip-hop that you're actually feeling right now. And not just the music, but the hustle, and just somebody that stands out to you right now.
I mean, you put me in a bad spot right now because I don't really have nobody to tell you, my dude. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're at a loss right now. I mean, like everybody's looking for at each other, like for help, like what to do next. But everybody's at the cusp of okay, we already took this shit to where it's at now. Where are we gonna go after this? Nobody knows. There's no innovators. You know what I mean? There's nobody that's paving the way. They're waiting for someone else to set the trend again. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, the most creative person I can think, and he's a weirdo, is Kanye West. You know what I mean? He's creative with his music. He talks about different stuff. I like Kendrick Lamar, but, you know, these people are getting exonerated for just a small time period of being in hip-hop. I mean, there's people that's
right.
been violent. They've been grinding for so long and they get no acknowledgement, and you got these new cats that just come out with a couple of songs, and they, you know, and they like they getting paid millions of dollars and getting all these mansions and yachts. You know what I mean? And the grind wasn't the same as the grind for these dudes that didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? And it hurts to see that. You know what I'm saying? And like I don't knock current hip hop. I love all types of music. I love all hip hop. It's just the key is so we don't separate ourselves or isolate ourselves from each other. We need to respect perspective. You know what I'm saying? Respect each other's upbringing, respect each other's opinions. You don't have to like it. You don't even have to always comment on it, but you can respect it. And that's how we'll get further
with what we're doing with this music. Just respect each other. That's the key.
What about like a Joey Badass or something like that? I mean, because I know, you know, Recipes, Capital Steez, they've dropped some hip-hop. Are you familiar with the little bit of movement he got going with Pro Era?
I might have heard it, but I'm not familiar with the name. But I probably, because I'm trying to look and listen for new stuff all the time, you know what I'm saying? And I might have heard it, but the name doesn't catch me right now. But what's the name of the group again?
Well, Joey Badass, he's, you know, just signed a deal.
Joey
Badass,
he sound familiar.
He's got his movement Pro Era. One of the dudes, one of the main dudes from there was named Capital Steez. I guess he passed away from a heart attack somewhat late last year. But they do got good hip-hop, man. Like, I can listen to it, and it sounds, you know, newer. He's a, you know, younger cat. But at the same time, the substance he puts in there does kind of take me back. So, to me, newer-wise, you know, definitely check it out. You YouTube it. He's, you know, he's definitely out there. I know he just got sponsored by Echo and all sorts of shit. So, you know, we'll see where his music goes from here. But I know a lot of the stuff he'd done previously was good. But I asked that question. You're like, you know, you put me in the spot. I asked that question to people anticipating that there might be an answer like that. So don't trip that you're like, I don't really have, you know, no one to shout out there. I agree.
I mean, I'm real with it. I mean, if I had a name, I would just, I mean, I was reaching with Kanye, and I feel like I shouldn't even be putting him up there, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, he got certain style of music. I mean, not even the stuff he do now, but his first album when he came out with it.
Right.
I like that feel to it.
He's a jerk now.
He got caught up with this mainstream shit too. You know, once these people see how much money they can get from being mainstream and being the norm and just following trends, you know, it takes away from their creativity. You know what I mean? Stay true to yourself, man. You're gonna find your own lane. Like I said before, water seeks its own level. You're gonna find it, man. You pour some water down the hill, it's gonna drip down and then pool somewhere, and then okay, this is where I'm gonna lie. This is where I'm settling my head. Boom, got my lane. But people are always trying to be somebody else, trying to get a hot dollar, you know, and the key is back in the days when we was doing it, it was really no money involved. It was we want to get out, show what we got, we battling, it's a still good thing, bum, bum, bum. But now it's all about, you know, just an image, you know what I'm saying? You don't even have to have skill no more. As long as you got fly clothes on and you know this person and that person say you ill and you blow up and it's no really, there's nothing behind it no more. Nobody really do it for the love no more. They do it for something else. It's not even about the love. The love is gone. Ain't no love for hip-hop no more.
I got to ask because, you know, I'm not from New York, but I know, like you was talking about earlier, that, you know, the park used to crack and this whole thing. Does the parks crack like it used to back in the day as far as hip-hop
no
out
way.
There?
Man, the only thing that's cracked is the grounds and the floor and the ground because they don't take care of the landscaping. That's only cracks that's going on in the parks these days. Man, Nobody even go outside to do nothing no more. Everybody got their headphones on. They to themselves.
Yep.
Nobody converse with each other. Nobody have conversations about anything. Everybody's just mean mugging. I like this. If you don't like what I like, that's it. Fuck you, nigga. But it's not even about that, man. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, we couldn't wait to conjugate and get with each other and rub elbows. You know what I'm saying? I might not even know you. I probably hate you yesterday, but today I love you, fam. Cause we in the same spot. Let's listen to this music. You know what I'm saying? But now, please, man, everybody to themselves. Nobody even care what nobody else did. You know what I'm saying? It's just everything is microwave. It's a microwave world, man. Everything's fast, and just get this, bang it out and throw it out, and it's next to the next project. And it's not about that. Quality over quantity, my dude. Quality over quantity.
Yep. I've even seen a lack, even here in L.A., of graffiti, good pieces, trains being hit up. Like, it's almost like the whole culture is being slowly black hole. And if people don't know what black hole
saturated.
Is, black hole is a vacuum that sucks everything, including light. You know what I'm saying? And the culture slowly being black hole. I'm telling you.
And, you know, and hip-hop is more than just music. People don't realize, see, you either a rapper or you a hip-hop artist, you know what I mean,
yeah.
Or entertainer. There's different lanes to this shit. I mean, like, hip hop is a way of life. It's a culture. You know what? I don't even need a beat. I don't even need no music playing. When I'm walking down the street, I'm on beat. You know what I'm saying? Because it's bred in me, man. You know, I'm the culture itself. I dress hip hop.
I talk hip-hop, I walk hip-hop, I look hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? I'm hip-hop, you know what I mean? It's a culture, it's a way of life, it's not just music, you know what I'm saying? And that's what it was for me. Now it's all about money, flash, cash, just get it in fast. I got more bitches than you. My car's big. And half of these niggas is lying about all the shit they're talking about. Nobody's even real about what they're talking about. It's all facade, man. And they all talking about the same thing. And people don't realize that. You know what I mean? And it's sad because we're losing the essence of hip-hop, which is the culture. The DJ, I remember you had to have a DJ. You could not get on. You couldn't spit a rhyme back in the days without a DJ spinning the record. Now all you need to do is press a button on the stage. You know what I mean? I remember you incorporating dances and dance routines. You don't even see people. People don't even dance no more. People standing in the crowd just doing a one step or whatever, mean mugging. Yo, you stepped on my shoes, man. Nobody even thinking about what you there for, man. You know what I'm saying? It was a feel. It was a culture, man. The culture's gone, man. It's just like the black race, man. If you erase your history, you don't know where you come from. You don't know where to go, man. You can be lost walking around, bumping your head, walking in the wall, so you don't have any direction.
Nope, I agree. That's just super real talk. I mean, you couldn't say it any better.
I'm getting political sometimes.
No, it's all good, but look, even I did... I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, I did a show. I opened for Too Short out here in Southern California. And when I went up there, you know, there was a DJ there, but obviously, you know, nowadays you bring a CD. Well, I got my whole, depending on where I'm going, the crowd, I got different set lists. You know what I'm saying? So I handed him the CD, and he was like, what numbers? And I was like, what? What numbers you want me to play? I was like, all you got to do is press play, homie. Now, I know I don't travel with the DJ. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I have it, you know, man, it goes through, everything blends together, sound effects, sound bites, the whole thing. These dudes before me were actually going up with their burned copy of their mixtape and be like, hey, yo, play 3, 4, 16, and 9 or something. You know, like, really? So you just bring in your mixtape to perform it. Like, what? So even the culture.
You know what's even worse? When you're seeing these dudes perform now, they know their shit is trash. So they got the mic. They got their hand muffled over the ball of the mic. You know what I mean? And they just, because they know shit is whack, and they don't wonder why their head that whack shit. So let me just muffle over the shit. I'm going to sing over my bullshit lyrics that are playing on that bullshit mixtape that you press play on. You know what I'm saying? There's no science behind it. Like, they don't even know how to perform, let alone make music, my dude.
And Mr. Raw, we talked about just the other day about, like, you know, Mr. Raw, still an NPC dude. You know, he goes, regardless if he has it in front of him or not, to a good mic, a good equipment to record. Here's the digital double-edged sword that we have, that anybody can get a sound card and a $100 mic and record and think their shit sounds tight. Because the point of hip-hop, like, you know, battle rapping, whatever it was to have confidence about you. So you have the confidence. You better than the other person. Started with the DJs and then the MCs. But with this digital era, it's crazy. And Mr. Raw, you over there on Greenleaf Network, I'm sure you deal with a lot of bullshit artists as well that try to tell you you don't know what you're talking about.
I got to rip somebody's mouth off every week. I ripped somebody's mouth off Tuesday, and my man said, damn, Mr. Raw, I didn't know you was on parole the way you went in. It's because he was talking slick, a little young dude. I was like, dude, I've been doing this. I forgot more rhymes than you written. Trust me on that. I said, I'm from the four-track tap scan cassette tape era. I'm from the hang my mic over the rafters and let it drop down era. No mic stand era. Bounce everything to one track era, then do your vocals era. I'm from them eras where you recorded the drum pattern for 3 minutes, rewind the tape, and put a bass line for 3 minutes, rewind the tape, then put a horn for 3 minutes, bounce it to one track. Don't do that. You know, I'm looking at these dudes now, and if you had an exclusive Casanova Run and Dire Lansky and Mr. Raw song that everybody wanted to hear, they do it slick. They put it on their YouTube and say that they got it exclusively when they don't have it, but the minute you click on to see it, they just got themselves a hit. So if you and me and Casanova Roy got the biggest song in history right now and it's exclusive and somebody on website, blah, 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 said they have it, we're going to click on to it. Fans are going to click on to it to see if it's the song. And too late, it ain't the song, but they got a hit. That's how they get these million hits. That's how they get these so much hits when they ain't even – who are you to have so many hits on your website? It's ridiculous. I haven't heard a Hungry MC since Joel Ortiz. And I'm talking about Hungry. He was bouncing around from label to label, lyrics super strong. Then I hear your man Papoose. He was coming out, but he was a little too cocky, and he was playing around with a lot of people trying to buy him until he faded out, and he never got the deal that he was supposed to get. Everything is saturated. Everything is watered down. Everything has changed. It has. You don't even have to be nice to play. They have this simulated press one button, and it plays four chords on the keyboard for you. And it has harmonies. They got four-part harmonies on your keyboard, so that when you press it, it sounds like four women singing. You don't even have to have the girls in
the studio. You know, the first one to do that from a producer standpoint was everybody used the Triton, and everybody got over the Triton sounds. So Korg after that came out with what's called the M3. You could buy it in a keyboard that was not weighted keys or anything. I think it was only like 49 keys too. And then they came out with the rack mount, which was the MM3. But if you bought the actual keyboard of it, it had pads like any controller that has little drum pads on there, the Kai things or anything. And when you pressed it, it already corded it up for you. So it sounded like a sample, mind you, no matter the instrument, playing whatever progression you wanted, no royalties, no nothing.
Pitch,
you have a sample or kick the beat.
Yeah, whatever pitch, whatever simulations of it, it played it.
I got to ask Casanova, and I'm just, man, we've been rocking out you in overtime. It's crazy, man, both y'all in the East Coast. So is there a chance, I don't mean to be this do or die, but that our type of hip-hop that we've been talking about this whole time is going to reign supreme eventually? Again,
You know what's ironic is that overseas, like Japan, Europe, Russia, I mean, they still feeling that same vein of hip-hop that we grew up in. We're the only people that don't acknowledge it. It's in America. We don't keep it alive. But everyone else keeps it alive everywhere around the world. And that's how much reach hip-hop has had since the inception of it. It's all
especially
in
London.
Every country.
Especially in London.
I mean, and they still feel that feel good hip hop. You know what I'm saying? They don't acknowledge all the stuff that's coming out these days. You know what I'm saying? And it's ironic that they're the ones keeping it alive, and we made it here. We not even and keeping it alive here, and it's sad. And you know
what's even more ironic than that is I've been to China. I worked for a company that had a manufacturing plant out there. Okay, a music company, and I had, you know, I always wear fitteds and shit like that that say made in China. These dudes in China not only knew all the hip-hop I did and more, they're trying to even buy, like, my Nikes, my Pro Era, my all this shit that I had that was actually manufacturing their company, but they don't even disperse it like that. I mean, our whole culture, they're still buying shit from 2000. You know, they're still listening to music like it's new from 2000, literally. And we're in 2014 right now. That's an amazing thing.
It really is, man. It really is. And we don't see how much of an influence we have. And that's what's sad, because the stuff that's being put out, there's no meaning to it. I mean, you don't always have to be a conscious person, but just be conscious of what you're talking about. You understand what I'm saying? It's a big difference, man. I mean, it's not always about money and hoes. I mean, come on, man. Keep in mind, the reason why hip-hop started was to get a message out, to tell the struggle, because they wasn't telling it on the radio. You wasn't seeing it on TV. The only way you would know our struggle was to hear it through our records, man. You know what I'm saying? Grandmaster Flash and them, the message.
And,
you know what I'm saying? The reason why everybody was doing music was to get their message heard. You know what I'm saying? The story to tell. But now there's no stories. There's nothing to tell. People are talking about stuff they wish they had.
But that's what I'm saying. You don't know the artists anymore. You don't know the artists anymore from what they're talking about. I knew who my favorite artist was because of what they talked about. I talked about that with Mopreme. You know, I felt like I said that to me, I think, too. I even think I said it to you. I knew who y'all were, regardless if I met you or not, because of what you talked about. And the struggle was out there on TV, but you only saw it in a negative aspect. I'm sorry. The only time you saw the struggle, if it was something negative that happened to catch a news or an article or something like that. But there was a beautiful thing during that struggle that was made called hip-hop. And right now we're having that conversation, and I think this is where you start to turn the tides a little bit. Because people are going to replay this show. People are going to say, hey, you know what, these guys actually have a point. I may not even know their music, but I'm damn sure going to go listen to it right now.
And for you, and I think if you're a hip-hop artist or claim to be one, you should know, you should look up your hip-hop history, yo. Know why you from, why you sound like, why you dressing the way you are right now, why you sound the way you sound. You know what I mean? Our lingo is hip-hop, yo. There's words that we still use from 20 years ago, yo. Lingo. The culture is still accessible, but people just try to be someone else, trying to get this money. It's not all about the money all the time. No, we need money to survive. Yes, yes, yes. But be conscious of what you're doing, man, because at the end of the day, we could be leading a kid on the wrong path, man. You know what I'm saying? Popping mollies and you know, exonerating people, criminals and murderers.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
That's one of the best points made, too, because regardless of the struggle, like when I listen, again, you know, I'll bring up Pac. You know, I say Pac saved my life. You know what I'm saying? That Me Against the World album, he may have been talking about some negative things, but he talked about pushing through them. You know what I'm saying? And you don't hear that anymore. I mean, every night is in a club. I'm sorry, y'all. It's not. I mean, there's got to be some substance that comes around. And I'm so glad that you said it that way.
You know, and they break records now in strip clubs. If the stripper don't dance to it, we can't put it out. Next. Let me hear the next one. Oh, this shit is popping. Look how her ass is shaking to this. Yeah, then we're going to put this out. Let's put a million behind it. You know what I mean? And
There's a whole porno rap league. I mean, it's really heavy. It's nothing but pornographic rap, talking about what's going on the screen in detail, and a lot of rappers are sliding that direction to get themselves. There is a whole section of rappers that's doing it heavy.
I mean,
some of the porno actors are being rappers.
I mean, and all that's going to do is tear us down as a society, you know, because we get caught
mm-hmm.
up. With just sex and drugs, and there's no meaning. You know what I mean? There's more to life than just having fun, man. We have to nurture each other. We have to support each other and
educate
and educate. And through hip hop, we were doing that. You know, like me and my partner Super Lover C, we wasn't open. We wasn't the KRS of the time. We wasn't like no you know, like the Message and all that. But we had our lane, you know what I'm saying? And we was respected for it. We weren't emulating anybody,
yep.
You know? We knew what our lane was. We, you know, we were some pretty boy niggas, and we took advantage of that, and we just ran with it. And you should find what your niche is, take advantage of it, and run with it. Stop patting yourself behind Lil Wayne and Drake, because none of these dudes is real. They all fabricated. They all sound like each other. And stop believing their story, man, because their story's fake, man. Come on, Drake was on Degrassi High. He ain't never been on no block. My man grew up in Toronto. I don't know how many hoods is in Toronto, but, you know, it's all good. Respect to Toronto, shout out and all that. But I'm just saying, you can't exonerate someone, put him up so high if he hasn't been through the struggle through hip-hop, man, the way it's supposed to be, man. And it's sad that people that really supposed to be acknowledged do not get acknowledged, man, and don't get the monetary aspect of it. Don't get that finance behind it, because it's people that deserve much more than any of these dudes got right now in their position.
Like Kool G Rap. Like Rock
Like
Kim.
Kool G Rap.
You know how long it took Rakim to receive an award? He did not receive a rap award till 2011 or 12, after he was already still labeled by more than half, maybe three-fourths of the industry as the best MC in the world. He was before his time. Everybody always asks who they considered the best. Rakim was always in the top three. Always, if he wasn't number one, and he wasn't talking about dead MCs, no disrespect to them, RIP, the Biggie and all of them, but when they was asking who was the most influential MC in the game, Rakim would come up, and he hasn't seen one-third the money that Kendrick Lamar seen, that Macklemore seen, that Drake seen, that Wayne seen, that 2 Chainz scene. There's a lot of them. Kool G Rap is another one, major influential in the game of the real struggle in the streets and being a real hustler. He ain't seen nowhere near the amount of money that some of these dudes have ever seen. So that's what makes you upset, because y'all getting out there fabricating, and the ones that was educating us on the reality of what was going on ain't seen one-third of the money, and they're not going to now. They're gone down in our history books as pioneers of the underground, but never seen the finances.
You know another artist that is very slept on, especially nowadays, but has been around like Casanova himself and everything, and I think we spoke on him earlier, Master Ace.
Oh, my God, of course. Please. Master
and
Ace,
he's an educator. He's a Morehouse graduate, too. So he's not just talking big words and don't know what he's talking about. You know what I mean? He's metaphorically gifted, and I feel grateful to have been around this president. And people don't know how to pay homage to people and realize that you're in the presence of greatness. And I don't care how great you are, always acknowledge greatness, man. You know what I'm saying? And Master Ace is that.
Yep,
no doubt.
And I've had the pleasure of having him on the show and EMC on the show, the group. So it's been, you know, it's been crazy. But, yeah, there's plenty that we can name. I got in an argument, but I just try to prove points. I don't argue with these dudes. But on Facebook, and this dude tried to tell me that Drake, since you brought him up, would kill KRS-One in a battle.
I doubt that. KRS would eat his food.
When's the last song that KRS had, and this and that, and listen to what Drake's saying, and Drake doesn't have to be, you know, he's so smooth what he said. He can say, you know, 4 bars and 8, and it'd be just fire. And I'd be like, well, what's the point of having 8 bars then? Just make it 4. Like, yeah, I mean, like all sorts of shit. And I was unnerved a little bit, though, homie, that we were even having the conversation.
Freestyling, no contest. No,
I was about to bring that up. If it was a freestyle, it would be over. He'll probably look at him, and Drake will probably just call up on the rock. He didn't even want to fuck with Common that long, and Common is overrated personally to me. But, you know, that's another story.
Common would have dusted him off.
But see, Common's too much of a man to acknowledge and big up this little young boy trying to get at him. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I'm glad Common spoke up. You know what
I'm
saying?
Come on, man. Somebody like Mos Def would wing him in a second. Pharrell Monch, no contest. No contest.
Hey, and watch out for that Pharrell Monch album that's about to drop, homie, because it is fire.
He's
fire.
I already know. I mean, he's from the same vein
that Express Syndrome
is
about to drop off of Raw Media Records.
Yeah.
I mean, War, I'm sorry. And fire.
He's from my hood. He's from around the corner from where I live.
40 Projects, yeah, that's my name. I know.
That's what I'm talking about, Southside all day. Yeah. These dudes are linguistically, like, their vernacular is so much above the level of these dudes right now that they're saying that your little punchline does not compare to my metaphors. I keep saying that. You know, y'all say little punchline. We kick metaphors and similes to make you think. Like, whoa. And you have to go back and say, well, what did he just say? And then catch on to it. These little dudes is fly by night, and they ain't going to last too long because they don't know how to soar.
Well, another under the radar, I'm going to step to another burrow, but I got to give mad props to Duck Down a Boot Camp Click.
Of course.
Of course, man.
Come
of
on.
Course.
I mean,
you know, I just heard Mobb Deep. They're coming out with an album, too. They got a SoundCloud. If you want to check out their new song, it's called The Block. and it sounds like some classic Mobb Deep. We need everybody that was back, that was doing, I don't care what era you was from, come out with some songs with your style, with your feel, and we'll get this thing back started again. I guarantee you, man. Stop trying to sound like everybody else. Sound like
and
yourself,
I just
man.
Did an interview with Mobb Deep for their album. I had the privilege of doing that for the Hype magazine and got to hear the double disc, and they also released a whole other disc of tracks back in the day that were unreleased.
Yeah, the
unreleased. A few
right.
of them people have heard, but there's a few of them on there that are like, wow, that, you know, from Infamous. And let's think about this. Everyone's talking about their 20-year anniversary. You know, we just did in 2013 the Pete Rock and CL Smooth, the, you know what I'm saying, Souls of Mischief and everything. We're coming to 95. Which 95, if people do the knowledge like we're talking about, was a very good year in hip hop, including the infamous
yep.
Mobb Deep,
yep.
you know, Dog Pound Dog Food, Raekwon Only Built for Cuban Links. The list goes on. So we're about to come to another 20th anniversary in 2015. That's amazing for hip hop, and I think we can get our shit together this year to be able to transition to that to make it a beautiful thing.
As long as we keep these big corporate companies. Fingers out of our shit, you know what I mean? I think we'd be better off because a lot of these people being backed by people that are just trying to get this money. Because, you know, these record companies are losing out now because with these digital downloads and yep. with everybody having access to put out their own shit, they don't need record companies for promotions no more, for distribution. So they're getting scared. So they're coming up with all types of tactics to coerce us to do certain types of shit. Don't fall in that trap, yo. I'm telling you now, be awake.
What's so crazy, ironically, so you're, you know, everybody, and this goes to the media, and I'm not trying to call nobody out, but, you know, back in the day, there used to be drug dealers in the hood that used to finance them to be able to get to the record label. Well, now in the hood, you just got to put up a little bit of money to get all your shit out there. You know, promotion doesn't cost that much nowadays.
Nope.
And so the record labels, I'm sure, are super pissed. So you know once somebody like a Kendrick Lamar or any of these artists, Macklemore and what we're talking about, when you have an opportunity like that in a major, they're going to exploit the shit out of it because they're not going to get a lot of people like that. A lot of people are getting smart, going to do my, you know, I'm going to do my independent thing. Are you kidding me? I'll put my own money together, you know.
On top of that, what's making Sal's think for the game is, for the majors is, back in the days, you like Casanova Rudd coming out. Now you saying he has a new album out and he's going to get Primo to produce one. He's going to get your man Dr. Dre to get one. He got Timbaland to get one. He got Pharrell to get one. And not for nothing, every one of these tracks, if they're not giving it to him on GP, they're paying a major amount of money for these tracks. Well, nowadays you ain't got to worry about getting a Dr. Dre. You can get your neighborhood Spider-Man to give you a little beat, and the beats sound good enough for you to put out on your own. Nobody's paying $10,000 for a beat when Kanye says he wants $90,000 for a beat. Nobody's paying that no more. You don't have to worry about those things.
And it starts to, and it trickles down to the quality of the music as well. You start to notice who's doing their own shit.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Just because you can rhyme don't mean you should be rhyming.
Yep. Exactly. Just
you
because you could
I
put
mean?
It, you could click Fruity Loops, now you're a major superstar producer.
That's
also
too, just because you can put a compressor on your master output doesn't mean that you're fucking engineering the sound.
An engineer. Exactly.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy, this whole thing. And people, like, I know people that I've talked to that literally put default, like, compressor plugins to bring up the volume just to, like, oh, it's too loud, oh, let me throw a compressor on there. Wait,
yep.
What?
And then everything
because
sounds like
it's accessible to them.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Accessible to them. It's accessible.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm excited. Keep talking, my friend.
No, I say the things that are accessible to them, it makes you wonder. Nobody's going for a good, like you mirrored back before. Nobody's going for a great album. They're going for a good single.
Yeah,
I mean, not
I
for
said
nothing.
It earlier.
Yeah, not for nothing. I think Nas's last album was incredible. I think it was the best hip hop album that I heard in a long time because he took it back. He gave us diverse songs. He gave me an album that made me want to listen to it from beginning to end. Not too many MCs are doing that in this new era. Back in the days when we used to listen to Poor Righteous Teachers and on Tribe Called Quest album, we could listen to that joint from beginning to end, every damn song. How
you
many albums you
tell me that? You listen to the little skips and the little snippets in the middle and all
Red,
that.
Red Man gives you the most illest skits in between his damn songs. You used to be excited because you wanted to listen to his whole album because you didn't know if he's going to give you a commercial, he's going to give you a skit with an ice cream truck when he beat somebody up, you didn't know if he wanted to give you a skit at the gas station when he punched a dude in the face. It was always a great album. It was entertainment. These guys now, even back in the days, Pete Rock and CL Smooth used to give you snippets of beats only that if you was nice, you snapped that up and loop it and try to rhyme over it because he was giving you so much fire on the song, plus he giving you fires in between the beats.
Yep.
These albums, they were worth the money. And another thing, a lot of them used to give you bonus tracks that you were never going to hear out in the public unless you
used to be able to
pour
through a track. You used to be able to fast forward like 2 minutes at the last track and there would be a secret song?
Yep, bonus album. And you're not going to get that. You wouldn't get that on a normal basis. They're not going to – they give you a remix also. Like you never know on the remix, might be a special guest artist on a remix that you never heard because it's not being played on mainstream. So you would have to purchase the album. They give you
absolutely
great artwork.
You had to purchase the album.
They give you,
and not
yeah,
to cut
you
off,
great artwork.
Blog Talk might cut me off in a second, so – I got to go real quick to Casanova, man. Definitely, we had a great conversation. Get some final words. I'm going to let Mr. Ross say some final words. I'm going to go to a track, and they're probably going to cut us off.
Yo, I just want to say peace to everybody, man. Just keep love alive, you know what I'm saying? Keep hip-hop alive. Stay positive. Stay strong. Shout-out to everybody, man. Let's pick up everybody. Respect perspective. Respect perspective. Let's go.
Absolutely. Mr. Ross.
Definitely. You know my saying is respect the architect, because we all architects out there definitely doing the blueprints of different buildings out there in the music field. And just stay true to what you're doing. Stay in your lane. Don't exceed your speed. And just keep putting out that real good, feel-good music from the true school of hip-hop. You?
Absolutely. And I salute you all, my OGs, you know what I'm saying, my East Coast fam out there, obviously. Casanova Rudd, legend in the game, man. We just salute you. We definitely going to be talking. Mr. Raw, you my fam. That's the way we do it around here. I'm going to go into this. You know, honestly, I'm going to end the show right now with the Grandmaster Caz. Good Man Is Gone. Peace out. This beautiful night. Big shout-out to Mopreme Shakur. You know what I'm saying? Big shout-out to Mia X, Dot4 Radio. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.
A good man is gone.
Niggas like the bus, it's just another night to us. But no, nobody win when a good man bite the dust. He wasn't black or white to us. He could have been your enemy, but the cat was alright to us. He even got tight with us. Sometimes he used to light with us. We had beef, he'd fight with us. He didn't even like to cut, but he wasn't too tight to bust. So somebody bust back, I don't hit they mark. In spite of that kid brain all over the park, he's a rap, another saddle wasn't here that long. And now a good man.
somebody had to go out just like Lee Harvey and strike a brother down in his prime. There ain't no telling what he could have done given the time. He could have been the next president, won a Nobel Prize. Could have been somebody famous or one of the guys. Could have been a leader that would have changed our course. Could have got five mics in a source. He could have done great things, invented a cure for cancer. The life's questions, he might have had the answer. But I guess we'll never know, cause the gun was drawn. Now another good man is gone.